You had a devilish grin on your face. What does that indicate?
Who, me?
Yeah, I saw the devilish grin come out.
Because I am late to get my headphones on because I care how my hair looks.
Sure.
And you turn the microphone on right away, and that cuts out the speaker, so I feel lost. So that look was like,
You needed another second? No, take another second.
I'm
You're
good.
Fine. You're all right?
All good to go.
All right.
How's everybody doing today?
I think okay. I think all right. I want to bring, you know, Steve Bertrand, who does news for us. I want to bring Steve in for just a second to
Hello?
Ask him a question. Steve, a political-based question
to
you.
Oh, good.
Are you all right with that?
Sure.
There's supposed to be a meeting today between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. Has that meeting concluded? Do we know if that meeting has already concluded?
The meeting with Donald Trump and Speaker Ryan has concluded.
It has.
Ryan show up?
Yeah. Donald Trump left, waved to the crowd, and then jumped in his car. He's got a few meetings. He was meeting with House leadership, which I think would have happened already, too, and then meeting with Senate leaders down the street a little bit later today. So we expect the speaker to come out and give his assessment of it.
That's what I was about to ask you, is that has not happened yet.
No.
But Wendy and I were talking about this in the office just a little bit.
This is going to be interesting.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Either way, but I think... Like, I've got a gut instinct as to what's about to happen. What do you think will happen? What do you think when Paul Ryan addresses the media later on, what do you think will happen?
I think he's going to say, I cannot support that man.
No way.
Do you? I don't know.
He can't
no
do that.
Way.
That's what his thought bubble's saying.
We had a productive meeting. We talked about a number of issues where we disagree, and we have committed to continue toward a better understanding and cooperating in an effort to defeat Hillary Clinton in the fall.
He has to say that.
I would imagine, if not word for word from what Steve just said, not off by much. Right.
And then 2 days later, Trump's going to say something.
Right. 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to take 2 days. You're right.
It's so frustrating for so many reasons. Wouldn't you applaud the integrity of somebody who said, and I understand the importance of the two political parties in the country. I kind of understand it, but it's so frustrating because all it means is that they're all just shills for their own party on the Republican side and on the Democratic side. They're just shilling for the party.
Can I take my words and put them in Speaker Ryan's mouth?
Please do.
Steve Grzanich has just handed me a joint statement from the Speaker and Donald Trump. United States cannot afford another 4 years of the Obama White House, which is what Hillary Clinton represents. That's why it is critical that Republicans unite around our shared principles, advance a conservative agenda, and do all we can to win this fall. With that focus, we had a great conversation this morning. While we were honest and are about our few differences, we recognize that there are also many important areas of common ground. We will be having additional discussions, but remain confident there's a great opportunity to unify our party and win this fall. And it goes
it's
on
almost
from there.
Exactly what you said a moment ago.
I almost started laughing. It is almost
but
exactly what I said.
Very good job on that, soothsayer. Is Trump going to win the election? Will you tell us that?
I think there's a fairly decent chance that he will, sure.
I know. That's what I say. Bill, you assure me that's not going to happen.
I can't see it happening.
You don't want it to happen.
I don't want it to happen. And I know it comes down at some point to two people. So you go, well, you can't count him out 100%. He's down to one of two people. But
so many people hate Hillary for wrong reasons or their own reasons. But it's going to come to a head. And Paul Ryan, I know he didn't really have his fingers crossed when he issued that statement, but he's not really supporting Donald Trump per se. He's supporting the fact that we have to stick together to keep the Republican Party alive.
That's it exactly.
That's it.
He's saying for the good of the party, this is the guy, we all need to back him and things like that. And that's why I get so frustrated in the party system. First of all, you couldn't pick a worse word for what those two groups are, the Republicans and Democrats. The word party is as inaccurate a word as you could possibly find. It's not a party.
And it's what a party? Dirge.
It's a dirge. It should
like
be called
it.
The Republican and the Democratic dirge.
Dirge.
Would you go to a party where everybody hated each other? Would you attend a party like that? I wouldn't.
I don't. I feel like the party should be abolished, but I know that can't happen. But why can't it?
Well, okay. So, you know, there is self-interest here, and that's human nature and part of politics as
right.
well. If Speaker Ryan comes out as the guy who sunk Donald Trump,
right.
that's not going to help him for his political future
exactly.
either.
Exactly. So he had to do this. He's supporting the party.
But if there was ever a legitimate candidate to come and honestly run as a lone wolf, I don't know that they would stand a chance without the backing of either the Republicans or the Democrats. I can't imagine it. I mean, we've seen in our lifetime, we've seen a couple of people come and make a little bit of a dent and maybe pull some votes away from either the Republican side. Perfect example. H. Ross Perot is a perfect example. But I don't know that they could ever win without having the full support of either the Republicans or the Democrats. Could they, Steve? Is that even a possibility? You have to have an affiliation to one of the two parties, right?
Well, he's gonna need Republican money, you know, and the Republican organization more than he's gonna need the Republican message.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's pretty much blown the traditional Republican message out of the water, but they've got a lot of money, and he said he's not gonna self-fund the general election. It takes so much money, so he needs to run under that banner for that reason.
All right, here's a scenario that did not play out in the last few minutes. What if the two gentlemen met today, if Donald Trump and Paul Ryan met, and then the statement we got from Paul Ryan is, yeah, I met with Donald Trump. I got to be honest, total Looney Tunes. I wouldn't vote for this guy in a million years. What happens then?
Paul Ryan can never run for any election again because he's completely destroyed the Republican Party with that statement.
I guess.
And, you know, listen, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not. I'm undecided, but I'm not voting for Trump.
Yeah.
I don't think it was right of the Republican Party to try and get him out now. I mean, it's going against what your party, the people of your party want. There should be no talk of I don't care about the candidates, the super delegates. We got to get them out of this election. That's not fair.
Well, look at how selfish it is that Republicans have bent over backwards to say that they're not fans, they're not supporters of Donald Trump and his way of doing things, and yet they're still trying to unify just so that the party can try to claim a victory in November.
Well, they need it. I mean, that's what they look at it from a sincere point of view, okay? I mean, I know it's cynical and all that, but consider yourself being a Republican member of Congress, and you have true beliefs in what you think should be done and how it should be done.
Okay.
All right, so your alternatives are to bite the bullet this time and hold on to your seat and try to hold on to the majority to further what you think should be done for the good of the country, or to throw in the towel, blow it all up, and have your party lose disastrously, and then you'll never see your vision take fruit, make fruit, bear fruit, cut fruit, whatever the fruit does.
Whatever, right.
No, you know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes you have to eat the Jell-O salad in order to get to the dessert.
But wouldn't it be better if you're the Republicans at this point?
I'm not going to make another analogy today.
No, that was
a good one. I know what you mean.
Yeah, we get it. But wouldn't it be better, see, if I'm running the Republican Party, I get the heads of it together and I go, look, boys, obviously, this isn't going to be the one for us.
This Aren't is there not any girls?
She's not the one.
Boys collectively, boys and girls. Look, kids, this is not going to play out in November.
Like. Boys and Carly.
Right. So let's look forward. Let's figure out what we've done wrong here and fix it for next time, because this is not going to be our day in the sun.
Oh, I think they're already doing that. They're figuring out ways to never let this happen again. And you have to cut your losses at some point, which is what, Steve, I think you're saying, not to put words in your mouth, but cut your losses. Let's go through with these 4 years and learn how to do it right for next
or maybe
term.
Take your punches and live to fight in 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, if they completely blow up and they lose the Senate, which looks likely, but if it gets even worse and they lose the House, you know, it takes a long time to come back from those things. So,
sure.
You know, maybe you have to deal with something that's a little distasteful now in order to, you know, live to fight again in the off year elections in 2 years. Now, all of that has nothing to do with what's good for the country.
No, it doesn't,
and
does it?
No, it, you know, but it's just the way the system operates, and it's just the way of the world.
All right, I know calls are piling up.
And I have a statement that's going to make you guys mad at me, so can we take a break and come back?
Oh, yeah,
awesome.
Without a doubt.
Love
Can't wait.
It.
All right, jump in on this, 312-981-7200. We are anxious to hear your opinion. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. The big meeting happened today between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan. I can read you the quotes if you want. Blah, 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 Trump. Blah, 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 best friend. Blah, 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 good for the team. Blah,
good
blah,
for the party.
Blah, good for America. Blah, 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 formerly Budweiser. So they're friends, and that's all we need to know.
I don't think they're friends. I don't think that Paul Ryan's saying they're friends.
It's just so frustrating that because they're members of the same party, and everything you said was true, Steve, I know what they're doing. You're building a brand. You're saying we can't give up on our brand. I get it. But it's just so frustrating. I would so much more applaud the integrity of a politician who said, that guy and I are on the same team. I don't believe in a word he's saying. I would love
that. But he is going to piss off the Republican Party, who keeps putting Trump in the forefront.
Right. I know.
That's going against your people, and you're going to need your people, especially if you want to run for an office later on in your political career. So, I mean, I agree with you. I would love to see him say that, but no one's going to shoot themselves in the foot.
I guess.
Unless they don't have any plans to run in the future, then that's why Mitt Romney came out.
Yeah. Did you stop being a Cub fan when Sammy Sosa became suspect?
No.
Right. Because overall, you were a Cub fan.
Yeah.
You didn't like Sammy Sosa or what he might have been doing.
Right.
But you didn't walk away from that.
No, I get. But there's slightly more at stake here, Steve.
Not really.
Are you kidding me? The Cubs in the playoffs?
There's just a tad more at stake.
Hey, Brad, you called in to talk about this. 312-981-7200. What are your thoughts?
Well, my point is, I wasn't a Trump supporter, but that's sort of irrelevant. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the electorate of the Republican Party decided that this is going to be their candidate. And for all of these guys, all of these party leaders, like, and I'm talking about guys like Pat Brady, who's on with Cochran in the Morning, all the time he's saying, I'm a Republican, I lead the Illinois Republican Party, and I'm not voting for Trump. Well, hey, how about this? You're a dinosaur, Pat Brady. The party is moving on without you. So get out of the way, because it's over for guys like you.
It's interesting, because I listened to him say that on Steve's show as well, and I half of me says, good for you, standing up for what you believe. And then the other part of me is like, how are you going to fare in the future after saying that?
Right.
I mean, I really have questions about that.
I just think that, you know, the Republican Party might be moving in a slightly different direction. Maybe it's going in whatever direction the electorate wants to take it in. But that's what a party is. The party as a whole moves in a certain direction. And these guys who are standing around saying, well, we don't like this guy. I get that they don't like this guy. But the fact of the matter is, that's the guy they picked. And whether and we decided it as a group. Everybody decided. The Democrats made their group. They decided their candidate. The Republicans, their group, they decided their candidate. So we as a group decided who our candidate was going to be. And if you don't like it, I mean, I wouldn't say, for instance, that I'm, you know, in favor of Barack Obama. I didn't vote for him, but he's my president because that's what we as a country decided 4 years ago. And get over it. Move on.
Brad, I agree with what you're saying, and I'm going to say something that's going to really irritate people. I am not voting for Trump. I'm not. He is not on my radar at all to place a vote for him.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If he wins, I am not moving to Canada. I'm just going to deal with it. And here's my question. What if Trump is the best thing to ever happen to this country? We all agree that he's shaking things up, and it creates some excitement to getting a non-politician in office because we are sick of politicians.
Hmm.
What if he turns this country around?
Well, that would be good for us, wouldn't it?
I mean, that's all we can do. Right, we have to sit back and see what happens over the 4 years if he wins.
All I would ask is, if you pose that question to yourself, you also take time to consider, and you know, you may well be right, who knows, but also, you know, assess what he's proposing and what he knows of what he's proposing. And you know, because a lot of his success has been like, I'm going to make it better, I'm going to fix it, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and there his critics say that there's not experience or a doable plan under that. So if you're going to take that gamble, I'm talking with an expert on risk on the Business Lunch today, by the way. If you're going to take that gamble, make sure you do it informed and know exactly how much he knows about what he says he's going to do.
Steve, what candidate in our lifetime hasn't run on the platform of, if I'm president, this country's going to be better than it's ever been before. I'm going to fix the problems.
They're not going to say, hey, if I win, I'm going to mess things up.
But that's what they all, I mean,
who would
throughout
say
our
that?
Whole life,
yep.
That's been the dangling carrot,
yep.
Is the America
right.
We all want, the better America, is yours. All you got to do is cast a vote for me.
I think Jimmy Carter in 1980 said our better days were behind us.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
I don't think he did. No.
Hey, Brad, thank you for calling and voicing your opinion, Brad. We totally appreciate it.
Right, but those people who do that, Bill, and you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. But those people who do that also do it with a level of understanding or explanation that I think might
and
be...
And Trump's not bringing that part of it.
He's not bringing that part of it.
He's just going to fix it.
Yeah, he's not bringing it yet.
Those guys love me. I've got friends who are those guys. That's not that's enough. Sweet.
I told you, I am not voting for him.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And I hope people really think about their vote before they place it.
Right.
But if he wins, it's beyond my control. And at that point, I go, God, what if?
Yeah.
Well, if he wins, let's hope he's a great president.
That's what you got to do.
That would be a nice surprise.
You support the office.
All right.
Not the man.
We need to take a break. We have to take a break. News is next, and then we'll talk about this and other things. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
You know who should run for office?
Who are you thinking?
David Hochberg should run for office.
I would vote for David
for
Hochberg.
President and Vice President, Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Everything.
Full ticket.
Yeah, it's a background check that I'm kind of concerned about.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It isn't. You're fine. David Hochberg likes to help people big time. He has helped me with my credit rating, which I was just telling you today, I signed up for these things.
Yeah.
And I got a little email that said you have a couple of collections, which I swear to you, I did not know about it. One is a parking ticket and one is an old doctor bill. The amount will astound you. One is $60. One is $45.
Yeah.
And that has been
about 50 to 80 points of your credit.
Can you believe that for $100?
Yeah. 50 to 80 points.
So what do you want to do? Do you just want to pay that off quickly, or
yes.
do you want to do one of those services that clean up?
No.
You don't want to do that.
No, here's what you want to do. You want to go to annualcreditreport.com. This is what we've been talking about.
I did it.
For years. You hosted the first credit enhancement seminar we did, and we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And you also went to creditkarma.com that I've been talking about. that I've been talking about. All this Trump conversation's got me all choked
up. Sure.
creditkarma.com, which is another great site. It's free.
They're both free. I got my credit report from annualcreditreport.com.
annualcreditreport.com.
And you can save your information and print it up and see if there's, you know, any negligence on your part. You can
or somebody else's part.
I told you I had a bunch of hits, like these various people. I still don't know why that happened.
They're inquiring about your credit and you didn't know who they are.
Like from an Acura dealership. I've never looked at an Acura.
Well, somebody's driving around a car with a loan with Wendy Snyder on it. So I hope you enjoy that car.
Wow.
Well, the person's driving the car is enjoying it, and your credit's taking it. No, there was another David Hochberg, as hard as that is to believe, out in Denver. When I first got in the business, I pulled my credit, and I'm just like, all right, let me see my credit. That's kind of cool. I can see my credit. David Hochberg, complete bust out in Denver, Colorado, who didn't pay his car loan off, and it was
that
rolling
costs
up.
You.
It somehow rolled up. Another right. David M. Hochberg rolled up on my credit report, different social security number. So I started digging into it. Huntington Bank was the name of the bank that had the car loan. And I'm just like, hey, I just pulled my credit. What's this all about? I had to fill out a form. They did some investigation. I had to send in two or three forms of identification that I was who I said I was. And within 30 days, it was taken off my credit report.
I told you about the TV show I saw that showed all the inaccuracies, like such a high level of inaccuracies at the three credit bureaus.
Right.
They're just piling up, and it hurts you. You did nothing bad.
It kills you. And to the defense of the credit agencies, right? And they're big enough to stand on their own feet.
Yeah.
Because I'm buddies with the retired chief operating officer, TransUnion, right downtown here. And he still does some consulting work. He says, we're only as good as the information that
Absolutely.
Is supplied to us. And if we have bad information or old or inaccurate information, that's what we're here to do. We're not here to screw over the general listening public.
Right.
We're here to report the information as accurately and as efficiently as we can. Now, there are some times that there are inaccuracies on your credit report, and there's no way for them to know unless you bring it to their attention and tell them, hey, That Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or that car loan, like me, hey, that Huntington Bank car loan, that's not my car loan. Thank you, Mr. Hochberg. We're going to put an investigation in. A ticket is created. An investigation is done, and they do the work.
And you email them. You just email them to do it, because there was a psychiatrist I had taken the kids to who was horrible. He was mean and didn't help at all. And
his number? What's the number?
No, I'm not giving his name. He knows who he is. But he had...
He's with us in the next half hour.
He's coming up after the break.
He said I owed him $510, and it was paid, so I disputed that right. with the credit card or with the
credit agency.
Yes. And they sent me an update saying it when, and lo and behold, it's off of my report. But you have to, see, that's what's hard. You have to kind of advocate for yourself.
It's not that hard. You just have to get off your lazy tuchus and get it done. Okay. Right. You have to go to annual credit report. You have to go to one of these free agents. You don't have to pay anything. Just go to one of these free agents. Find out what people are saying about you. And if
they
it's
say
in,
I'm very pretty.
Well, you are.
I'm
and
late
you look
with my bills.
Fantastic. I love that top today. It's tremendous.
Oh, shush.
I completely lost my mind. Thought
just,
of Trent.
Just now?
I never
you
had it.
You register with annual credit report.
Yeah, you just go to annual credit report.
Do your own work.
Well, here, once you get the information, you have to review it. Now,
right.
if you have a parking ticket that you don't know about.
Because
and then you just blew it off, well, yep. then pay it. A lot of people give their car to a valet. Valet parks it in front of a fire plug. Mm-hmm. The cop comes around, writes a ticket, puts it on the window. You come out of the restaurant. Here's the keys. Valet goes to as if it doesn't.
I didn't even think that happened.
Oh, yeah. What planet are you on? It happens
nice,
all the time.
Calm down, and if you're going to yell, pull back from the mic
it
a little bit.
It happens all the time.
People, I trust people.
Oh, trust people? What are you, the Chicago? What are you like in Davenport, Iowa? Are you going to trust people?
No.
People give you their car. They take it and give it 20. $20. They park it in front of a fire plug,
and then they just rip up the ticket.
CPD
sure.
comes
Those
around.
Sons of bonkers!
Careful.
Drills you. You're lucky you got your car back. Okay, you don't know who's in the black blazer with the neon sign on the back. Joe Blow Parking Supply. Right? You just pull up in front of a restaurant. That's a great way to make extra money, right? Put some cones in front of a restaurant. Would you like your car parked? Sure, great. Boom! Off it goes into a shipping container overseas.
Get the paddles, Bill.
We have to take a break. We'll get the paddles. Kevin, a towel or two for Mr. Hochberg, please. If you have any questions or comment, 312-98.
Do they do that? Of course they do that.
7200 is our number. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy. And a very upset David Hochberg. It's WGN.
Yet passionate,
very
Bill.
Very passionate.
All right, he's David Hochberg. He's with Pearl Mortgage. He's going to give you all the information. I want to say you did this little, what do you call it? I want to say symposium, but that's not what
are
it is.
Seminars or
yeah.
symposiums?
Well, it's a combination of both, whatever you feel more comfortable saying.
Seminar-posium?
I have trouble. Yeah, I have trouble with syllables, you know, words with more than three syllables, yeah. So it's good. I like seminar. It's a gathering. Credit enhancement, home buying seminar.
Think tank? Is it a think tank?
It's a think tank. We're thinking, and I'm sure tanking, you know, somewhere
Somebody's
along the line.
In the tank, probably.
Exactly.
Can I tell you how much it helps? I
mean, you were there. You hosted the first one.
Yeah, and I learned so much, but just to see all the people asking questions and a lot of veterans do not know what their benefits are, it was really helpful. So how do people get into that?
Well, you hosted the first one we had at the College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn. There were over 300 people in attendance there. That was great. We had another one at O'Hare 2 years ago. We had over 250 people there. It was tough getting people there because of the road construction outside of O'Hare at the time. This time we're going to Zany's in St. Charles.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
John DeCoss hooked us up
with
the fine folks out there at Zany's. We're going to be doing it on a Wednesday night, in 6 days, on the 18th. It's free. It's limited seating there.
Yeah. Okay, will you be doing stand-up?
I will be doing stand-up.
Because he really does, Bill.
I know that.
Oh. I
know.
Well, you know, when the occasion arises, I'm doing stand-up Friday night with the Koss at the Rue Theater. Yeah, I haven't written anything.
No, you don't need to.
I'm just going to walk up there and just start dropping things. Yeah, what the heck? It's nothing. So it's going to be Wednesday night at the Zany's Comedy Club at Pheasant Run in St. Charles.
Yeah.
The event is free. There's plenty of parking. We're going to start at 7 o'clock. We're going to go to 9. And as you know, Wendy, it'll go longer because people have tremendous questions. Once we get in there, why are we doing this? We are there to educate the listening audience.
There's nowhere else to get this education, I assure you.
Exactly. There's no place to go. We've never gone that far west before.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, well, when are you coming to St. Charles? Well, now I'm coming to St. Charles. And then the people in Plainfield, if I could get a location down in Plainfield, Joliet, that wants to give me a location for free to do it, I'm not going to pay a facility to host it. I'll name your name 1,500 times on the radio the week before the event. So I'm going to Zany's in St. Charles out at Pheasant Run from 7 o'clock. It's on the 18th. It's free.
How do you register?
You go to WGNDavid.com. And the great thing about it, there's a sign up right there. You go to WG and David. There's a nice logo. Click on it. It'll take you right to a email. You just email me the name of the people that are attending, how many people are attending, and the questions. The best thing about this, Wendy, as you know, I design the seminar around the questions that the attendees have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a question, I already have one about a veteran, VA loan. I already have one. How do we do it after? How do we get financing after bankruptcy? How do we enhance our credit after bankruptcy? How do I save my home with a reverse mortgage? My kids want to buy our home. What's the best way to do it? I only owe $50,000 on my home, but my home's worth $300,000. What's the best way of financing? Okay, six great questions. Already have over 80 people registered. We've only started promoting it on Monday. Okay, Tuesday was the first day we started promoting it on Steve's show. And thank you for having me on your show to do this. I've already have over 80 people registered. There's only 200 spots, 250 spots.
Go to it, people.
My credit enhancement expert's going to be there. All my realtors are going to be there. David Schluter, my real estate attorney. You have any trust planning questions, estate planning questions, whatever you have. It's free, and we're not going to solicit you for anything.
No. And every question that was answered, Bill, this is why I knew it was so important, because the room of 300 people when I was there, completely silent when these questions were asked, because everyone has the same basic questions.
Right. And what we're going to do is we're going to use social media and technology while we're there. Because let's face it, if you've got a question, you know, hey, I've got a boil on the tip of my nose. How do I extract it? You don't want to stand up and ask that question, you know, unless you're in a room of dermatologists, and then they'll all be throwing you their cards. Well, you know, you'll be able to email me your question during the event.
Right.
So if something comes up, do it. Send an email to me right away. I'll have my people in the back, you know, my guys and girls in the back monitoring the email.
Great.
And that's great. You're printing off the questions.
Oh, Dave, I just thought of a question for you.
Yes.
It's Zany's, so will there be a two-drink minimum?
There will be. I think the bar is open, but there won't be a two-drink minimum.
Oh, even better. Okay.
It'll be even better, yeah.
All right, we have questions from listeners.
Sure.
Somebody has said, both of the free credit agencies have denied me my reports for the last 4 years due to, quote, a thin file. Any suggestions?
Because you don't have any credit. Okay, so you don't have any credit. So that's the problem. You're asking them to report your credit, and your file's so thin. It's not a thin and David Hochberger, two words that never go together. You know, three words that never go together, at least in a long time.
So there's your opener for Zany's right there.
Thanks.
How do you fatten your credit report?
Here's how you fatten your credit report. Number one, you have to open up a credit card. Okay, a lot of people are scared to death of credit. You go to First Midwest Bank. Okay. Again, you open up one of those believer loans where they will give you a credit. You pay it off. All of a sudden, your mailbox will get flooded. We talked about this in nauseam. Every time I'm on, just like I've told you to go to Annual Credit Report and told you to go to Credit Karma, and you finally did.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you fatten up your credit report? Open up a believer loan at First Midwest Bank. Okay. Call up Margie, 815-327-4825, I think the numbers, or go to WGNDavid.com. Send me an email. I'll personally introduce you to my ladies at First Midwest Bank that do these type of loans.
And it's your money. Basically, you're paying ahead of the game.
If you do a believer loan, it costs about $100 to set up. You don't have to put any money up. If you're credit challenged, you have to put up $1,000 to open up a CD loan. They report that loan to the credit agencies. There's your heartbeat. There's your pulse.
Mm-hmm.
You keep paying it off. At the end of the quote unquote loan, you get your $1,000 back plus interest, and you have a thicker, maybe not a very thick file, but you're less thin. Okay.
And
so
can you do it again then?
And then you could do it again. But at that time, by the time you're there for 3 or 4 months in the loan, your mailbox is going to start getting flooded with credit card offers. And that's when you know you're back on the grid. Pick one, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. I don't care what it is. If you're a traveler,
don't get all of them.
Don't get all of them. Right. Don't go bananas. Right. If you shop at the Gap, Victoria's Secrets, Macy's, Nordstrom's, and they give you a discount, pick one general universal card that you could fill up your tank of gas and give them the Visa and go to your store of your liking and buy whatever the heck you want, but pay it off. Okay. And then your file's getting thicker. Then that person, the texter, could go back and get a copy of their free credit report, because then there's something to report to them. If it's too thin, that's a good thing. There's nothing to worry about. Okay. And the people that say credit is bad, credit is not bad if you manage it well. Okay. What's bad is the people that have the credit cards that don't manage their credit well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You could spend money with cash just as easily as you could spend money with credit. The only difference is the credit, you got to pay it. Okay, the cash, you're paying it at the time. Credit, you pay it when you get the bill 30 days later. Debit cards have no impact on your credit scores. It's the biggest falsity out there that everybody thinks, well, I got a debit card and I'm very responsible. Well, who cares you have a debit card?
Okay,
this is where he goes. Watch out.
They're taking the money right out of your checking account.
He's hitting the red line, Wendy. He's hitting the red and the blue line.
Okay, if you don't have any money in your checking account, your debit card goes kablooey, and they deny it.
But ever since a debit card happened, I don't even use credit cards
anymore. That's the problem.
I know, but I've already, you know, now I'm working on.
Well, maybe that's a good thing for you.
Yes,
right.
For me.
For you, that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, to have credit, it's a good thing because you've learned.
Yes.
Right? We went through credit.
Took a couple times, but yes, I learned.
Credit utilization, credit university one-on-one, and we told you what needed to be, and you've done it. Okay, and that's what this seminar is all about. If you want to learn why credit is important mm-hmm. and how to secure the lowest rate when you refinance or purchase a home, because again, 1 point in a credit on a credit report on a $300,000 mortgage could cost you over $50,000 in additional mortgage payments. 1 point in your credit, it takes you out of a different level of risk, will cost you, add $50,000 to your mortgage payments over a 30-year fixed loan.
This is all the stuff you're going to find out. Also, if you're thinking about buying a house and you don't know where to start, this is the place to start at David Hochberg Seminar. How do they register one more time?
It's very simple. Go to WGNDavid.com, WGNDavid.com. It is free. So the first 250 people that register, you get it. Okay,
right.
You're in. Just go there, click on the seminar. Just give me your name, how many people are attending, the names of the people that are attending, and your email address so we can just confirm the day before with your phone number so we could call you to confirm the day before as well. And any questions that you have, I build the seminar around the questions that come in from the attendees of the event. That's
next Wednesday, so St. Charles Zanies. David
7 to 9. Look forward to seeing you. Thanks for the opportunity.
The even-tempered David Hochberg, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, David. Have a good time. We'll take a quick break and then the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thank you very much. It is Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. If you want to call in or text in, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200.
And I believe people are going to want to talk about this.
This is one of those stories, you know, my mom used to say this all the time. I just heard something and it made my blood boil. And we would just try to picture what that would be like for my mom's blood to boil. But in tribute to my mom, this is a story that will indeed make your blood boil. Steve mentioned this in the news a little while ago. I read about this last night and boy, is this disheartening. But then as I explain, you say to yourself, yeah, this is an awful, awful thing, but well within the legal rights of the person doing it, let me explain. George Zimmerman is a name that was in the news back in 2012. He's the guy who shot Trayvon Martin in Florida, in Sanford, Florida. It's a story I'm sure we're all well aware of.
It split up a lot of people.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
The opinion was on
both
sides.
It really did. It really did. Now, George Zimmerman, the latest chapter in this tale is that George Zimmerman, as of today, as of this morning, is auctioning off the gun that he used in that murder of Trayvon Martin on a website called gunbroker.com. There's a starting bid as of this morning of $5,000. It is, unfortunately, a piece of history, ironically, not even ironically, tragically, a piece of history. But there's a lot to be discussed here. Most notably, why would you want to own this? What would be in it for anybody to own this gun? Like I said, it is a piece of history, but it's a bad piece of history. It's an awful piece of history.
Bill, there are a lot of people in this world. How come people like Charles Manson gets a fiance? There are people that are drawn to tragedy.
Right, right. And I have to admit, I am, what's the right word? I'm interested in tragedy. I understand the value of tragedy.
I'm intrigued by it. I like to read about it. I'd like to know about it, but I don't want it to become part of me.
Right.
I don't want to personalize it.
Right. What could you get? Let's say you're a person who has a lot of money to spend on something like this, and you're the winning bidder. And I have I can't even guess. When I read the story last night, I said to myself, okay, the opening bid is $5,000. What are people willing to pay for something? Such an awful, awful bit of recent history. So let's say it goes for, I'm just pulling a number at random. Let's say it goes for $20,000. What do you get out of that, out of owning that? Maybe
well,
you put
he
it
gets
in a $20,000. Case.
Oh, the person.
He does. George
Zimmerman
does. And wait till I tell you what he's doing with the money. You'll love what he's doing with the money. But for the person who's the winning bidder, what are you getting out of that?
It's someone who loves guns and who wants to tell a story because they need to get attention somehow. Maybe they haven't achieved anything wonderful in their lives, be it a job or spiritual. They haven't achieved greatness, so they need something to talk about to make them look more important.
I bet that is what it is. It has to be. It has to be. George Zimmerman, here's the story. George Zimmerman is selling the gun that he used to kill Trayvon Martin, an unarmed black teenager, during a 2012 confrontation in Sanford, Florida. Here's what he says. He told Fox News team this. I'm a free American, and he is. I can do what I like with my possessions, and he can. Zimmerman wrote in the auction description of his Kel-Tec PF9 9mm handgun that he plans to use some of the money, and I quote here, to fight BLM violence against law enforcement officers, to ensure the demise of Angela Corey's persecution career, and Hillary Clinton's anti-firearm rhetoric. Angela Corey is the Republican state attorney who charged Zimmerman with second-degree murder in the Martin shooting. Zimmerman was acquitted back in 2013, leading to protests that helped spark the Black Lives Matter movement. The auction begins today, Thursday morning, on gunbroker.com. The starting bid, as I mentioned before, is $5,000. In his description, Zimmerman said the gun was used to, and I quote again, to defend my life. Here's what he wrote. It has recently been returned to me by the Department of Justice. The pistol currently has the case number written on it in silver permanent marker. Many have expressed interest in owning and displaying the firearm. I want to stop for just a second. I'm curious as to what the definition of many is here.
How many museums, he said, including the Smithsonian.
Oh, okay. All right, all right.
So that is a part of history. That would make sense to me to show an event that really separated the masses here in America. That's museum material, don't you think?
I'm trying to think of what the reaction is. In that respect, I guess it is an important piece of history, I guess.
But they expressed an interest. They're not saying they want it.
That's it exactly. But I bet if it were given to them, if you're the Smithsonian or a similar museum and you're given something like that, even though it certainly has a dark history, I guess part of what you do is to, you know, to say, well, that's what we do. We display items that are a part of history.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Right.
A little similarity here. Barbara has a great one. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. You know, I agree that it's very strange, but how is that any different than the people who bought paintings done by John Wayne Gacy?
It's very similar.
It's very similar. It is very similar.
And gruesome.
Oh, 100% gruesome. Beyond gruesome. Yeah, but this...
I guess it's not like you were selling Gacy's paintings as opposed to like a brick from his crawl space or something. Something that
or a
did,
weapon.
Yes,
or a
that
weapon
was
that
used
did,
to kill
yeah.
these poor innocent victims.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But it is similar. Yeah. It is similar. People are intrigued and, you know, they are interested in the macabre.
Yeah. Without a doubt. But you're right. There's a definite tie-in, Barbara. You're right.
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
That's what we're here for.
Years ago, do you know Spertus College downtown? You ever
no.
seen Spertus College? All right. It's a small college. I went to Columbia, and Spertus is just down the block from it. And they had an exhibit of things from the death camps, from the German death camps. And now I guess you could go to the Holocaust Museum, and you could see even more of it. But one of the kids I went to school with, you know, it was a highly touted exhibition of all these things. And it was everything that was at Auschwitz and all the different death camps. And it was one of the most emotional 90 minutes of my life to walk through that and to see the actual items. It makes it real.
I know we hear stories and you read about it, but to see things really makes it real.
I'd seen so many pictures over the years, and I'd seen so many... I guess kinescopes, I guess, was the way they were, or maybe it was just regular film. I don't remember what they were using, but I had seen that over the years, but I'd never seen
the
uniforms
actual,
and the tools and everything that was used there. And I mean, it was hard to walk through there for 90 minutes. And then for weeks after, it was every time I thought about it, I just got sick to my stomach. Wouldn't a gun like this have a similar reaction
us?
It would, wouldn't it?
To some people, no. He put in the information about it, I'm honored and humbled to announce the sale of an American firearm icon, according to the Post.
Yeah.
The firearm for sale is the firearm that was used to defend my life and end the brutal attack from Trayvon Martin on 2/26/2012.
So he's still selling that, even though...
Well, he wasn't charged. He's been let off.
I know.
Technically, he did it. He's a free American, remember, Bill?
Yeah.
He did have some problems with domestic abuse. Didn't he get arrested for that?
Yeah.
Domestic violence case in 2013.
Yeah.
But the prosecutors dropped the charges after his girlfriend refused to cooperate with the investigation. He's not a good man.
I don't think you could qualify him as a good man. Now, if he was found guilty of any of this, he wouldn't be allowed to sell this, right? Aren't you not allowed to profit?
I think that's right, through
a book, right? I don't think if he's found guilty, he's allowed to write a book and make any profits off of it. So I would think selling one of the weapons involved, or the weapon involved, I would think would be impossible for him.
Quick break. Your phone call is 312-981-7200. A couple of people on hold. We will talk to you in a second. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
If you go to the website gunbroker.com, you will see, as of this morning, the gun that George Zimmerman used to kill Trayvon Martin back in 2012 in Sanford, Florida, is now on the auction block. The starting bid is $5,000. There's a lot of questions that Wendy and I have posted about this. What are your thoughts at 312-981-7200?
Steven is on the line. Hi, Steven. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
We're good. You had some information?
Yeah, that gun is no longer on that site.
Really? Do we know what happened there?
Just another news station a couple hours ago said that the gun was subsequently removed from the auction site, and there's an error message. And if you try to link to that, there's a link, like if you Google George Zimmerman auction, you click on it, and it just says this item was removed from our inventory.
I wonder what the backstory is there. I wonder why that happened.
He tried to sell this according to reports.
There's no comment from the gunbroker.com or anything. It's just, this item is no longer available.
But it was, and he tried to do this again several years ago, it said in one of the reports.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened, that when you'd click on the link, it would say, this item is no longer available. And
right.
So I don't think they're... I guess it was up there. I don't know, but it says the update as of about an hour ago, gun broker cancels sale of George Zimmerman's gun used to kill Trayvon Martin.
Does that mean that the website was getting so much negative publicity or just people calling in or writing them saying, hey, don't do this. This isn't good for business.
That's what I would think would be the problem would be.
It says, sorry, but the item you have requested is no longer in the system. If you'd like to search for items, you may use the search box above or you may go to our homepage and it doesn't come up.
And if you even just try to search for the Caltech 9mm, it doesn't even come up.
Nothing. Interesting. Wow. Well, Stephen, thank you. We appreciate the information.
Yes, sir. Have a good day, guys.
You too.
You as
thanks.
Well. The same thing happened when he tried to get rid of it before.
But if you're them, you know this is coming. You know you're going to get a little bit of negative publicity. This has been in the news for a couple of days. So why at the last minute? I guess they got the publicity they wanted. But he could just take this to another website. Somebody would sell this.
I wouldn't imagine anybody would sell that.
You don't
think
someone else would touch this?
I would think he'd have to have a garage sale or something.
No.
And sell it himself.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm hoping people aren't going to want to get their fingerprints on that.
I know, you know, eBay is by far the largest auction house. I know they're extremely sensitive to stuff like this. They've had stuff pulled over the years for much, much lighter reasons than this.
All right. And Tony, you know about a revolver that was sold that made history in a different way?
Yes, one, yeah, I do. I don't know if you remember the old Jack Ruby story when he pops out at the airport and whacks Oswald.
Yeah.
That gun was turned back into Jack Ruby's brother, and it sold at an auction house in 1991 for $220,000.
Wow.
There's a market for these guns out there.
Wow.
What year was that, did you say?
1991.
Jeez.
And then do we know where it ended up, Tony? I'm sure a private collector has it then, huh?
It went through an auction house, and I think, if I remember right, the bidder, the one that actually won the gun was anonymous, so I don't know where actually the gun went to, but... Yeah, that buffoon Zimmerman, which he's totally a buffoon. I mean, besides the Trayvon Martin, his life after that
yeah.
is completely in shambles.
Yeah.
You know, would have just approached one of these auction houses. I mean, for lack of a better word, they'd have snagged that up in a heartbeat because the commission they'd have made on that would have been unreal.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Wow.
But you can't sell a gun at all on eBay just for, you know.
No guns at all can be sold on eBay.
No.
All right.
You could sell like a grip for a gun or, you know, a holster, a case, but you cannot sell a working firearm on eBay.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. Well, wow. Well, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
You as well. It sucks. It might have also sold the gun used by Jack Ruby to kill Lee Harvey Oswald. Has been all over the place. And it was expected to fetch $1 million in Vegas several years ago. So it has...
Wow.
But that to me should be in a museum. That's something that no private person should have. And the person who bought it originally said that too, because he went by anonymous, or she.
I'm going to say this, and I can't explain it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can understand any of these things being in a museum, but for a private collector to have it, it seems warped to me. And I collect a lot of weird stuff. But I would have such a weird feeling about showing it off or even looking at something like this. I know that it's a bit of history, but I think that's why I would say a museum is the way to go on something like this. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it's still there, but it was in the pop culture collection at the Palms Hotel, one of the 150 items.
This is the Ruby gun?
Yep.
It was, yeah.
You can also buy... this is when this went up for auction, and this was a couple years ago. Christopher Reeve's cape from the first two Superman movies. That you'd want.
Sure.
You'd really want. I know you especially. Cher's leather clothes.
I wouldn't mind having those.
And Andy Warhol's sunglasses.
Yeah.
That would be really cool, but I could never afford that.
Yeah. It gets pricey from there.
I'd like to put them on a Campbell's soup can just to hold them.
Am I imagining this? Wasn't the car that John F. Kennedy rode in Dallas, wasn't that on the auction block not too long
ago?
That
convertible?
Yeah. For some reason, I seem to think somebody was auctioning that car off at some point. I could be wrong. And again, I mean, it is a bit of history, but it's just so dark, you know?
Yeah, but the JFK assassination goes way beyond George Zimmerman. I mean, how many times did you watch that Zapruder tape? We saw it in history, and then to this day, I'll still sometimes watch it and try and figure out what I'm looking
right,
at.
Right, right. Yeah, right. Without a doubt, the story has more scope. But although this is, I mean, the Trayvon Martin killing was such a landmark murder, I'm torn. I just know that if somebody gave it to me, if somebody said, hey, you collect stuff, you collect... pop culture stuff. Here's the gun. I wouldn't take it for anything. Would you? Would you want that?
No.
I feel dirty having it.
And I don't know if you're getting confused, the car and the car keys, because according to TMZ, which I'm sorry to say, they're usually
sometimes right.
Sometimes
right, yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah.
Assassination limo keys up for sale.
Was it just the keys?
The
Is that
keys,
what it was?
That could have changed history can be yours. The actual keys to the limo JFK was assassinated in are going to auction. Golden Auctions out of New Jersey offering up the goods in an online sale. This was in January of this year. Opening bid starts at $5,000, could soar upwards of $50,000.
Wow.
I'll try and find out how much
just
they want for
keys. So you every time you show them to somebody, you have to explain, hey, I know this.
Hey, come over here. Grab me a beer and listen to this story.
Right. There's so much more to this than just a set of keys. I'll tell you what it is. All right. We'll take a break and then more show. Kim has the news coming up in a minute. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films,
we do.
Then Dean's your guy.
He is.
So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Maybe not today.
Dean, do you know what's going on right outside of our studio as we speak? Do you know what's going on here?
Somebody urinating?
Well, that's constantly. There's always that. But
enjoy your
great
lunch,
guess.
Everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Hope you're having lemonade with it.
They are.
They now are, I have a taste for lemonade.
No,
what is wrong with me?
What is wrong with
that's
you?
That's not right. They're installing your star, Dean, in the WGN Walk of Fame,
that's
and they're going to have a huge ceremony for you.
That's what I've heard.
Yep.
A spy sent me a photo of the plaque, the bronze plaque that will be embedded in the cement, that thousands of years from now, when archaeologists are uncovering the rubble that once was the city of Chicago, they'll find these Walk of Fame plaques and go, who is this guy?
How ironic is it that you're receiving a plaque when you have for years fought against plaque and tooth decay? How does that happen?
I am a very strong opponent of plaque,
right?
Gingivitis.
Yep.
All the gingers.
Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers. Ginger from Gilligan's Island.
Ginger Grant.
all the gingers. Yep. I am not. I'm extremely anti-ginger.
But you like people with red hair. So figure that.
Well, that's true. That's weird. Very, very true.
That's weird.
It's, you know what's weird is when I got this picture and, you know, we've known about this Walk of Fame thing for a while. Very nice honor. But it's really different when you see the actual thing that's going to go on the sidewalk.
How so? Why is it different?
I don't know. It's like, it's, I
makes
guess
it official.
I guess this wasn't a practical joke on the part of Jimmy DeCastro after all.
The WGN Walk of Fame ceremony, you can find out all the information you need to know at WGNradio.com. It's on May 27th.
Oh, I'm busy that day.
Oh, yeah, no, well, you got to come to this, Dean. It's big. Is, you know, your mom's going to come probably, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and
sure, it legitimizes everything he's been doing forever.
These years of suffering. Yep. Here's what you get. Sit in the hot sun and watch the plaque be unveiled.
Who, if you could have anybody from your past, living or dead, if you could have anybody there at your ceremony, who would it be? Oh, other than your mom.
My grandmother.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, my grandmother, because she was one of the ones that yelled down in the basement while all the kids were outside playing ball, and I was inside playing radio station.
Yeah.
To in her, you know, thick Greek accent that I won't even try to duplicate. To go, why don't you go outside and get some fresh air? You'll never amount to anything doing that. So,
you know, I was listening to you this weekend, and you and Dave Schwann in the newsroom were saying how when both of you were young, you had pretend radio stations. Both of you did.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
No, really? That's isn't not really? Sad, is it? I don't think so.
Oh, the poor dorks that are on Sunday morning.
I just would be
sad
at
childhoods.
Parties, and I really liked Sky Daniels at the time.
Right.
And I called myself Sky Snides, nice. And I had to take care of like whatever Journey song anybody wanted to hear. So I didn't really have a pretend radio station, but I knew I wanted to spin the discs, the platters.
So yeah. you were like the DJ at the party.
Yeah.
Spinning the truly a disc jockey.
Yep.
Truly a disc jockey.
Dean, I also had a pretend radio station. Every 6 months, my mom and dad would fire me. Just
good
to
training.
Prepare me for the world of radio.
But now, did you
train? Really, it's a good thing now that my grandmother was yelling at me. I didn't think of that. It prepared me for what was to come.
But radio is it's our geekness. It's our geek,
sure.
Our geeky pleasure. And you being a former stand-up comic, did you used to do stand-up in front of the mirror and stuff?
No. I didn't think that would be my career path at all.
Did you decide, I think I want to do stand-up comedy? How did you decide to do that?
I was in an improv group, and somebody explained to me, because I was complaining that after a three-hour work night, a very long night, jeez, I'd walk away with $10 or $15, and somebody said, well, you should do stand-up. You get to keep all the money. And the next day, I became a stand-up.
So it was just for money?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember your first joke that you did as a stand-up?
Yeah, I had, and I think this would still work today, Dean, don't you? Tell me if you think this would work today. I took a little plastic bullwinkle, remember Bullwinkle the Moose?
Sure.
Right? So I had a plastic Bullwinkle the Moose, and I put it on my head in my hair, and I said, I used to have very unruly hair, but now I put moose in it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That would work today.
I think it would.
You were the Carrot Top of your day.
Yeah.
With the prop humor.
Yeah.
Except Bill was funny.
I did all Bullwinkle and Rocky based humor. Wow. Everything I did was based on them. Yeah.
You don't get a lot of Bullwinkle J. Moose
nope,
humor.
Nope. It was a simpler time.
Was it J? I know it was Rocky J. Squirrel. Rocket, I hate to correct you.
Rocket J. Squirrel, but was it Bullwinkle? Didn't Bullwinkle have a middle?
Oh, I can't remember.
If Bill doesn't know, who
I
did
want to say true. Just Bullwinkle Moose, but I could be wrong.
Bullwinkle.
Dean, in a moment, we'll come back and we'll find out about this big movie with George Clooney and Julia Roberts, and then I want to ask you something about a big movie from last week as well. Dean Richards is our guest, future WGN Walk of Famer. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I owe Dean an apology.
Sure you do. How come? I think I do, too. We all do.
He said Bullwinkle J. Moose, and I doubted him. I thought it was Rocky J. Squirrel. And can I just tell you something, everyone? Rocky and Bullwinkle share the middle initial J.
Really?
But their middle names are never revealed. Matt Groening gave the three male members of the Simpson family, Bartholomew J., Homer J., and Abraham J., the same initials as a tribute to Rocky and Bullwinkle. Mm.
You know, the creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle's name was J. Ward.
Yes, it was.
And that, I bet, is why he gave
maybe
them
that's
the,
why that big ego
little self-salute.
Put his little name in there.
Maybe.
But you
possibly
were right. I was wrong.
Oh, how about that?
Wasn't he also the voice of Bullwinkle?
I don't know.
Only Bill would know this.
I don't think so. But you're on a streak, so maybe.
I know Rocket the Flying Squirrel was the lovely June Foray.
Right.
Very famous voice actress.
She did tons of voices over the years. Yeah.
That's when, you know, it's very common for women to do men's voices.
Yeah.
Squirrel voice.
Mostly squirrel voices.
Bart Simpson.
I need a squirrel. Get me a dame.
Get me a lady.
Get me that dame that does the squirrel voice.
Oh my God.
Dean, last week you told us about this movie, Captain America.
A few people went to see it.
Boy, did it do well. Is it the fifth biggest opening in movie history?
Movie
is that right?
History. That is correct.
Wow.
Good golly.
Wow. Yep. All right, so here's the question I have. Why does Marvel continue to make these movies right, the superhero movies? They make them good. And on the DC end of town, they can't seem to get it right. How come?
You know what? I wonder that so much myself. Part of the refinement of all this is that Disney purchased Marvel recently. And if anyone's got experience with these kinds of films, it's certainly the Disney company. So, you know, they're taking it to another level, as they also are the Star Wars franchise that they bought. But I think the Marvel characters are a little more inherently fun.
Yeah.
There are more levels to the Marvel characters. I think there's a little more to work with. This Captain America movie really is one that, you know, somebody ought to really analyze, because this film is the personification of absolutely doing it right. Mm-hmm. This had almost everything going for it. You know, it's about as nearly perfect as they come for movies like this. I stand by my comments. I've taken a little heat this week from some Marvel fans who are, you know, they can do no wrong, where I said you needed to be a Marvel insider to completely get all the jokes, to, you know, all the references and things, and I still stand by that. I don't think it hurts the movie, but it just, you need to be an insider to get the full range of everything. But it's about as good as a movie is going to come, and you know, it's got all the excitement, it's got all the action, but also it's got some great human stories. It's got self-effacement and humor all over it. So I think that's, you know, that's part of it. I mean, I didn't beat up the Batman Superman movie as much as most critics did.
Yeah,
I just said it was kind of slow moving, but they're really, I mean, it was kind of humorless. It was a little bit more difficult to watch that movie than it was the Captain America film. That just, you know, they're not as funny. The characters,
right?
The characters don't lend themselves to it. Although, as I'm saying that, certainly the Christopher Reeve Superman movies had its share of, you know, there was plenty of self-effacement and humor and humanization. So, you know, maybe you know, it does all come down to the screenplay and the direction and how you put it all together.
I have a 13-year-old who's a Marvel freak, and Dylan said he was mad that his brother and dad critiqued it a little bit. He was trying to defend the Captain America movie, but then he finally admitted, you really kind of didn't need... You kind of didn't need to read the comic book first. That would have helped you.
Yeah.
But it was still good. But he agreed that.
He's a genius. He's a genius.
He's a genius.
Well, you know, he watches you every morning before school now on TV, and he is a big Dean Richards fan.
He is.
Although he said you need to read the Dean comic book to fully understand all of Dean's comments. So maybe there's something.
Dean J. Richards.
Right, Dean J. Richards. Dean, what about this movie Money Monsters? It's George Clooney and it's Julia Roberts, and right off the bat you say, well, that's got to be a big hit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be a big hit or not, because both, interestingly, Clooney and Roberts really haven't had too many hits themselves lately. Their track record lately is not super great. This one, I think, might break it a little bit. It is and directed by Jodie Foster, I might add.
Oh, wow, so I didn't know that.
There's quite a bit of star power behind Money Monster. It is it's a movie about a guy, you know, Jim Cramer. Do you know Jim Cramer from, is it CNBC or MSNBC or one of the NBCs, where he does that financial show?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, like the nutty over the
top. Oh, it's a very sexy stock. Sexy stock.
Exactly.
That guy.
Yeah. That guy. George Clooney plays somebody just like that on a show that's called Money Monster. It's you know, a live financial show, and he does crazy stunts. And on this show, he had given some tips for a particular stock that completely tanked. And somebody, a guy dressed up as a delivery man, sneaks into the television station, posing as a delivery man, and holds George Clooney's character hostage on live TV because he wants him to explain, you know, how he ripped him off and how the whole Wall Street situation is rigged and how people are getting screwed left and right by these big corporations. The movie starts off in a really powerful, tense way as kind of a nail-biting hostage film, hostage drama, but then kind of goes off in a lot of different directions. I think Jodie Foster should have corralled the story a little more. There are lots of little side stories that didn't need to be in there that dilute the main story and the main tension. The story of this guy, what's he going to do? Is he going to kill the George Clooney character? Is he going to blow up the TV station? You know, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
All of those things to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat throughout the movie get diluted with a lot of different side stories. So that I had a problem with. And also, there are tons of things in this movie that just could never happen that also kind of took me out of the story a little bit. The idea that somebody literally could just walk in the back door of a TV station is never going to happen.
No, that could never happen.
That's never going to happen.
No way.
Post 9/11, we barely get in the building anymore, much less somebody saying, hey, I got a delivery for so-and-so, and you walk into the building. That's never going to happen. Lots of things that are happening during this live broadcast would never happen. A lot of the technical things, maybe these are just things that industry people would notice.
Sure.
It's like, that could never happen, and that's not technically possible, and this isn't possible. So it took me out of the movie a little bit, but I think the main problem with this movie, I enjoyed it. I actually kind of liked it. I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes, but what took me out is there were so many little other things that just didn't need to be there that watered it down a little bit. I will say this. Maybe Julia Roberts' best film role in years.
Oh, wow. Good.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
As the, she's this kind of the producer director in the control room while this hostage drama is going on out in her studio with her anchor guy, the George Clooney character. She's great in such an understated way. George Clooney is also very good. He plays this, Kramer type character, this kind of puppet, great. And when things start to go bad, he brings that to it, the sort of fragility of somebody who is now wearing a bomb vest and may die at any moment at the hands of some guy whose life has gone down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that's very interesting about this film as well. A little bit of humor that's also sometimes took me out of the drama of this movie. But overall, I got to say, I enjoyed it. It's an hour and a half. It goes by quickly. I liked the Money Monster. I gave it a Dean's List B.
That sounds encouraging.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
Remember how surprised the world scientists were when they looked through their 1,000-inch telescope and saw Rocky and Bullwinkle flying back from the moon?
But do you remember that?
Of course,
yeah.
Phil Scott, by the way, doing the voice.
Phil Scott, that's the guy.
The metal munching moon mice. Was
who
it?
Could forget that?
The metal munching moon mice.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
I know way more about Rocky and Bullwinkle than a grown man should. Really.
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks,
J. Richards.
Dean.
See you guys.
Have a great weekend. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Tim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's the second show for us today, Bill and Wendy. Hope you enjoyed the first one. Hope you enjoyed this one. We're 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call in.
Or text.
Yeah.
You can do both.
Either one. Kim, can you do us a favor, Kim Gordon, please, if you have a moment?
Sure.
During the news, you were talking about the meeting that took place earlier today between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. And then what you did was you read Paul Ryan's description of Donald Trump. And my head kept doing that thing where it kept spinning around 360 degrees.
Warm and genuine?
He called him warm and genuine.
Yes, he did. Why?
Wendy, you...
sometimes when you meet somebody face-to-face and it's just two people in a room, you get a different view of somebody.
I'm
not defending either way.
No,
Just saying.
But I wonder if Donald Trump has that ability because I've never met him. I've interviewed him over the phone, and the phone conversation I had with him was extremely representative of what we've seen of him the last year, or you could say the last 5 or 10 years, which was a guy that was slightly delusional. I remember him telling me that at the time he had the number one show on television, even though he didn't.
But he was personable. You wouldn't argue with that.
He was personable, but I would not use the word warm or genuine to describe him at all. Like, whatever the opposite of, I would say cold and aloof more than warm and genuine.
Well, and it's so funny because here you have this New Yorker meeting this down-home guy from Janesville, Wisconsin. You would think just the way they grew up and the places they live are so polar opposite.
Yeah. At the beginning of the show earlier this morning, we were talking about how much pressure there is from the Republican side for Paul Ryan to, if not endorse Donald Trump, at least try to find some accord and find some reason for people on the Republican side to vote for him. And I have to say, I think Paul Ryan is playing it the way we all expected, most of us expected anyway.
He has to.
I guess he has to. I guess he has to.
But, you know, and now you have, I mean, he's kind of up against a wall because now today you have Boehner throwing his support behind former House Speaker John Boehner, putting his support behind Trump, and now, you know, the longest serving Republican Senator Orrin Hatch saying he'll support Trump.
Oh,
so it seems like they're trying to get the party to all have this, you know, we support Trump
so
mantra.
Was there a secret meeting? Was there a series of phone calls? What led to all these guys within a very short span of time all saying, kind of going against the grain of what they've said the last several weeks, and all of a sudden going, well, all right, he is the guy. We like him,
I think. It was the bat phone.
Is that what it was? Was it the bat phone?
Definitely the bat phone.
Now, is there a whole statement that Paul Ryan said about Donald Trump, or just the words that he was? Did you read a little bit more than just he was kind and caring?
Warm
and genuine.
Was there anything else to it?
A little bit more. Kim, I don't remember exactly what you said, but there was a little bit more of a full-fledged statement about it. While Kim's looking for this, let me throw this out, because I was thinking about this yesterday. Donald Trump announced that he is not going to disclose his taxes.
Right.
Which both you and I thought was a necessity. I was under the impression that that was part. Yeah, I kind of thought that. All right. Now, go back in time a couple of years to when Donald Trump was ripping on Barack Obama for his birth certificate. What if Barack Obama had said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to disclose my taxes. What would Donald Trump's reaction have been to that, do you think?
Not good.
Not good.
No, he would have totally.
Right. He would have ridden him forever on that.
He doesn't need much information to ride anyone.
Right. So, I don't know. It just, I tried to make the point earlier. I hope I made the point. It upsets me. And I understand the importance of the two-party system, but it upsets me to no end when anybody involved with either of the parties will support somebody only because the party supports them. I would give so much more credit to somebody who'd say, hey, I stand by my convictions. I don't like this guy, and I think he's or woman, and I think they're bad for the country.
Yeah, but if you were a devout Republican, you wouldn't be saying that. You would want everybody to stick with what the people have chosen.
If somebody on the Democratic side, let's say this played out the complete opposite of what it's played out, and somebody on the Democratic side was the front runner, and they were seemingly ill-equipped for the job, right? So I would have no respect at all for anyone on that side, on either side. Let me use this as an example. I know this seems like a stretch, but I don't think it is. Years ago, when my father-in-law was still alive, he made a statement that no matter who was picked, whoever the candidate, and I guess this plays in exactly to what's going on right now, no matter who was picked by the Republican side, whether he liked them or not, he would vote for them because the Republican Party picked them. And I said, no matter who it was, no matter how much you didn't like them, you would still vote for him. And he said, absolutely. And I still to this day, and that's 20-something years later.
He's not the only one saying
that.
Don't you think that's a generational thing?
Yeah.
Because I think older generations just support the party no matter what.
No questions asked.
And I think younger generations just, they question that. And, you know, it may be great for the party, but what's best for the country?
Right.
No one's thinking about that.
No, and that's what's concerning. That's what's scary.
It turns into like sports teams.
Right.
Like, we just want our team to win. I don't care who's representing it.
Right.
But the Republican, if you're a Republican, we have to win.
But how did it? Why is it like that? Why wouldn't you just pick for the? Why wouldn't you vote for and support the person that you believed in? Why do you have to go? Well, I'm a Democrat, so that's who the Democrats want.
This country has gotten so divided now. It's a shame. It really is.
And you said, I understand why we have to have two parties. I'm sorry. I am ignorant of politics. I don't really care about politics. This is the first year I've feigned interest, and now it's real interest because of what might happen. But why do we have to have two parties?
Well, there's several reasons. I guess the most obvious is you could use it as like a business model. How if you have a monopoly on something, what difference does it make? You're not concerned about any competition. You do whatever you want. If you're a monopoly, you run the table. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. You need somebody to keep a system
like
of checks
and balances.
Yeah.
But I think an independent can enter this race. So potentially there could be another person running for president.
To be the checks
doesn't
and balance
mean,
party.
It doesn't mean that it has to be just two people.
But Kim, we were saying earlier that if somebody did that, no matter how qualified he or she might be, without the support, both financial and every other kind of support of one of the two parties, it's impossible.
Right. Well, the way it's set up now, it's close to impossible unless they're a billionaire like Michael Bloomberg or somebody
right.
like that who
or
could
Perot
just fund the whole
years
thing.
Ago,
right.
We were talking about H. Ross Perot years ago. Actually had a decent run, didn't stand much of a chance. And, you know, his only thing was he was going to take voters away from another candidate. So that's
well, and
what
that's
made
a concern here as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It was with Bloomberg, right? Didn't Bloomberg himself say he knows if he entered the race, he'd
right.
be, he would be a detractor of votes? From,
and he said that if Hillary became the presumptive nominee, then he would not enter the race.
Right, right.
So.
Right. All right, let's take a break. I know the calls are starting to line up. We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? Do you just go along with whatever the party says, or do you break free a little bit and say, hey, even though I'm a member of the Democrats or the Republicans, I don't like what they're providing, and I'm not afraid to say it. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200. Give us a call or a text. We'll pick those up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I want to break free. All right. We're trying to make sense out of what has gone on with Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said some strange things over the last couple of months. Paul Ryan didn't seem to be in his corner, but now all of a sudden after a meeting today, he does seem to be in his corner.
But was it that Paul Ryan seemed adamant and not, he seemed irritated because there were rumors that he was going to jump into the race and he said, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So they weren't really bitter enemies. You just didn't think he'd come out on Trump's side so heavily, right?
Well,
now.
I would not read too much into that statement from this morning. I mean, I think he's going to come around eventually.
And do what?
And be supportive and endorse him and all of that. But I don't, he was asked a couple times in this news conference if he was ready to endorse him. And he kept saying there's more work to be done. There's more work to be done.
And he didn't answer the question. He kept
right.
kind of diverting
so,
it.
So, you know, they're not there yet.
But he said he was kind and genuine. What was the quote? I can't remember.
I don't remember the two adjectives he used. Genuine was one of them. Warm
yeah.
and genuine,
warm
right?
And
warm and genuine.
You know what? I mean, I know people are different in private meetings than they are when they're in front of people at a podium,
yeah.
but warm and genuine are not two adjectives I would use to describe Donald Trump.
If there was a page of 100 adjectives and they said circle a couple that you think pertain to Donald Trump.
Loud.
Right. Warm and genuine, I don't think would make it. I don't think it would make the cut. Now, again, you and I have never sat in a room with him. We've never talked to him. But boy, it would take a lot for me anyway to walk away from a Donald Trump meeting going, oh, you know what? Shockingly, Donald Trump, warm and genuine.
And you mentioned your late father-in-law that he would just vote whatever the party put in front of him without questioning it.
That's what he told me.
But if you're going to break free, 312-981-7200, or are you just going to support your party? Boy, my whole day is a tongue twister, John. Thank you for calling and saving me.
Well, let me tell you that I am the definitive independent voter. Here is the problem that's caused the Republicans so much angst. In the last two terms that Obama has been in office, with the advent of the Tea Partiers, the Tea Party bloc in government provided an impediment for the establishment Republicans and the president to compromise on deals. The Tea Partiers are and will be always the no vote, the no vote, the no vote. They will vote no against something that's even logical because they will vote for something that will they won't vote for something that seems illogical because they want to embarrass the president. Now, here's what's happened. You have Donald Trump, who has a following that not especially conforms to the Tea Partiers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own thing. And then you have the establishment, and you have these Tea Parties. Now, in Wisconsin, we have Ron Johnson, a Tea Partier senator. His job is on the line this election. And if the Republicans don't come together, and this is my prediction, so sooner or later, Ryan will come out and say, well, we kissed and made up, because they want to, they have to protect their base in the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
If indeed they don't come together, then you're going to have three factions in the Republican Party that are going to, a house divided won't stand. I mean, the Republican Party could disintegrate. So they will, you know, they will do this. They'll put up with Trump. They'll probably come, who knows what kind of ideas will come out of and what kind of platform they'll have and the planks in that platform. Trump is a lunatic.
He's warm and genuine. Now stop it, John.
He's a buffoon. He is a buffoon. That's
all right.
What he is.
Well, that's listen.
So you know who I'm going to vote for. But anyway, that's exactly what the dilemma is for the Republican Party. They have to come together, consolidate, and protect whatever base they got, and then see what happens.
Who are you voting for?
Well, when I said Trump is a buffoon, you can tell.
So what? You're still going to vote for him?
Wendell Willkie.
No, I'm going to vote for Clinton.
For Hillary Clinton.
I'm not going to vote for this guy, the 21st century Joe McCarthy, for crying out loud. Anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. But, you know, when people say that, you know who I'm going to vote for, there are people that still think Trump is a buffoon and they're still going to vote for him.
Yeah.
It wasn't that clear cut to me.
It's a solid question. Steve, how did this happen? This is a strange thing. A couple of weeks ago, they did a poll and they said that Hillary Clinton would stand a far better chance going up against Donald Trump than Bernie Sanders. But now in the last couple of days, they've done a complete 180 on that and said that Bernie Sanders would be the one who would have a much bigger lead on Donald Trump.
Yeah,
what happened?
I'm not sure about that first poll you're talking about, Bill, because I think he's tested pretty well against Trump.
All the way through? Because early on, I remember reading it would be the opposite, that it would be Hillary Clinton that stood a much
better chance. I don't know. I think
he's
done pretty well against him.
But, you know, if you have Trump and Clinton, they're both really polarizing people. You either love them or you hate
them. It seems.
Right. Go ahead, Wendy. I'm sorry.
No, and I think, you know, Bernie is kind of a middle ground. It's like one of those people. I think I like Hillary Clinton, myself speaking. But then, you know what? If Bernie Sanders wins, I wouldn't be that disappointed.
But look at how warped that is. This is a guy who describes himself as a socialist, a democratic socialist.
I know.
And
I love
he's that. He's the middle ground.
I know. Well, that's so weird.
I think Bernie, for most of us, is still just a notion or an idea.
Yeah.
You know,
not to him.
Well, not to him. But, you know, I don't think he's still really that well known as policies. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's getting better known.
Everyone knows Hillary Clinton and has an opinion, negative or positive.
Good point.
Everyone knows Donald Trump, opinion positive or negative. And Bernie's kind of what we create.
You know what he is?
The eh party. That would be your third party in the United States. The Democrats, Republicans, and the All right. Do we have time for more?
Sue, we have 1 minute here. So I'll get a lot into a little amount of time. Hi, Sue.
Oh, hi, guys. You know what? I was listening to your comments about how you described it as, you know, a generational idea that we would follow, you know, lockstep. I'm 65 years old, so I don't know what generation you would put me in. But there's absolutely, and I've been a lifelong Republican, but there is absolutely no way that I will follow lockstep with the Republican Party and vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I think he's a megalomaniac. I'm insulted to think that Republicans, you know, just think that we will follow along and not use our own consciences. And, you know, I just think it's an insult to our intelligence to think that we can't think for ourselves
sure.
and vote for who we will vote for.
So
and
there's
I'll be voting for whoever the Democrat, if Trump ends up the nominee, and I really, up until this point, really admired Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
But, you know, my opinion is changing because I really don't think that, you know, he and some of these other people are following their consciences.
Interesting.
So I'll be voting for whoever if Trump is the nominee, I'll be voting Democratic for the first time in my life.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Sue.
And I think that they are underestimating. I think there's many, many people out there like me. And I don't know. I don't hear about them. I don't hear their voices. But I definitely think the party is underestimating us.
I do, too.
I think the party's over.
The party is over, well, Wendy has decided.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But that's my feeling.
Sue, thank you.
Thank you very much.
When Trump, now they've done this thing, and I know this isn't Trump's decision. I know this is somebody who's running his campaign's decision. But whenever he now takes to the podium, like after he wins a primary, he's surrounded by attractive women. He's surrounded by his wife and his daughter.
It's his harem.
And his harem. So is that a way, are they reaching out to their base, which are men, saying, look at this guy.
They're not just attractive women. They all look the same.
Yeah, they're attractive blonde,
thin women.
They're like the
same attractive women.
Right.
It's like he's Robert Palmer in that video, Addicted to Love.
But is that aimed at, you know, he's having a hard time convincing.
That's his family.
It is his family, but look at the positioning. Like, he's got sons that could be front and center with him, but they're, like, standing back a little bit. You know, it's all the women that are up on stage with him. They're all positioned in such a way that if you just see a picture, if you see a still, or even watch a couple seconds of the video, you see Donald Trump just surrounded by thin, attractive women.
Because that's what his image is everything to him.
Well, okay, so what's the image? I mean, I think Bill's
having
saying...
Having hot chicks around him all the time.
I think Bill's saying that the image is that he's popular with women,
right,
and has female supporters.
Right. Isn't it a subliminal way of saying, look, there's Donald Trump. He just won. And look who's around him. It's all women. How about that?
He can't be a misogynist.
Right.
Look at this.
Yeah, but women who are seeing that, you know.
That's what I wonder, is it turning women off?
It's somebody
and
who
doing
looks
that?
Like us up there.
Someone's got to do a mashup of the Robert Palmer video.
Right.
Because that would be so funny.
Perfect. It is perfect. All right. We need to take a break. Thanks, everybody, for contributing on this. We'll get to more topics next, right after the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. The music of Adele Dazeem, Wendy. The great Adele Dazeem.
What's her real name?
Idina Menzel.
I've never seen this movie. This is the Frozen movie?
Yeah. Why haven't you seen Frozen? You'd
Why
like it.
Why have you?
You haven't seen Frozen?
Steve
no.
and I saw it together. Kevin and Steve and I went and saw Frozen.
I was the first one to tear up, and Kevin was the second. Bill
yep.
stood firm.
I tried to stand firm.
All right. Let's have some accuracy, please. Steve Bertrand, honestly, have you seen it?
No, but I intend to.
One answer, please. Kevin, have you seen it? Can't hear you.
Nope.
I have not seen it because I have teenage boys. And
you're still
I'm,
allowed to see Frozen if you have teenage boys?
I haven't seen any. Although, you know what? I think they've seen it.
Have they seen Frozen?
Mm-hmm. Why have you seen it? Your girls are older.
I wanted to see it, and I saw it, and I liked it a lot. You know, it's the number one grossing Disney movie of all time, which is befuddling to me, and I'm really befuddled, Wendy, but this is, I don't know why it's the number one of all time. It's a good movie, great songs.
Was it fantastic?
No, I don't think it was. I mean, I'm certainly not the target audience for Frozen. I'm probably 3 or 4 years older than the target base, but I did enjoy it a lot.
I thought
did?
It was a special movie.
You didn't see it.
I keep forgetting.
All right.
You should, at some point, it's worth seeing. I mean, it's a pretty movie to look at. The songs are great.
It's No Sound of Music, though,
no
right?
No Sound
though,
of Music,
right.
Wendy.
You know, that will just forever be my problem, one
that
of them.
That you've not seen Sound of Music?
I yeah. haven't either. We've talked about this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Have you seen Up?
Yeah, I've seen Up. That's a
I
good
haven't
one.
Seen that.
There's
and my
character.
Kids are mad at me that
well,
they,
you know
they
what?
You should see that,
you
Mom.
You need to see Up.
They just want to see me cry in the first 2 minutes.
If you can get through the first 8 or 10 minutes without crying, I will have some sort of award made for you. Because you can't. It's impossible to get through the first 8 or 10 minutes without weeping. It's
I'll
just
see
impossible.
That someday. I just, I don't.
You
I'm
don't have any desire to see Frozen or
Frozen,
Sound of Music?
No. Up I have every desire to see. But if I don't go the opening weekend, then it kind of gets put to the back burner. And
well, you've missed it by about 10 or 15 years then.
Yeah.
Right, if you don't go when it opens,
right.
it gets put on the back burner and then you forget about it, you know?
But you could rent it or download it.
I know,
it
well,
or...
I'm thinking about it today. I'm not going to watch it while we're on the air, and then tonight I'll be at Builder Supply Outlet and I won't be thinking
Maybe
about it
Maybe they'll show
again.
It there. What if Tom Jenke has a bootleg copy of Frozen?
He does a great Ed Asner.
Yes, he does.
He's really good at that, Thomas.
He's fantastic at it.
Ed Asner's in Frozen?
He's in Up.
Bertrand, what are you doing today? God, he's confusing me.
Well, here's the reason that this has come to light, the topic of Frozen. There are certain people who believe, and this happens from time to time, and I never get it. I don't understand it because I love animated films. But there are people who believe that one of the lead characters in the movie Frozen, this would be Elsa, one of the sisters, that Disney should just come out and admit the fact that Elsa is gay.
Is she gay?
Well, not really, and I'll tell you why. It's a cartoon.
She's a cartoon?
Right. So my guess is there's probably very little going on sexually with her because she's a cartoon. But we've seen this before, most notably with Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
That is ridiculous.
I know it is.
I mean, I know people have said, I mean, they're two roommates. So what?
They're Muppets. My guess is, just a guess here, they probably don't have sexual organs. I don't think. I would be shocked to find out that either Bert or Ernie is the possessor of a sexual organ of any kind.
Didn't someone out one of the Teletubbies once, too?
It was
Tinky Winky. It was Purple, who had a purse. See, this is just right. So stupid. But, I mean, the whole Bert and Ernie thing, excuse me, I know men that aren't gay that are old enough to probably have their own place, but they don't, and they're roommates, and they save money that way.
Right.
I mean, why does everybody have to say something just because they live different than someone else?
People have brought up the fact that with Bert and Ernie, nearly every time Ernie has taken a bath with Rubber Ducky, you know, whatever makes him sing the Rubber Ducky song, that Bert, for some reason, finds a reason to be in the bathroom when Ernie's taking a bath.
So we can have a lovely song about a rubber ducky.
I think so, too.
Bert is our eyes and ears.
I believe you're right.
I mean, I think you're right. Freaking cartoon. Why do we have to...
I know. Believe me. I understand it, but people are... There are so many people up in arms, mad at Disney because Disney won't. Come on, Disney, just cop to the fact that Elsa is gay. But in reality, it has no bearing on the story whether she is or she isn't.
What are some of the things that people are insinuating that she's gay? I've never seen it, so Bill, I don't know.
I'm trying to think specifically. Now, I saw it a couple of years ago.
Is she making out with another woman?
I don't remember that happening in
the
movie.
That would be a sign.
Right.
Right.
If that were a scene, and she would probably sing a song about it too, but she does. I don't remember that being in the movie. Here's the story. The religious right is not into the idea. Now this story is about the backlash of all these people saying, "Hey, make Elsa gay from Frozen." So this story is about the backlash.
Make her gay or admit she's gay.
Admit that she's gay. Or some people are even saying, just come right out, you know, just play it up next time. They're going to do a sequel to this. So I guess in the sequel, they want it to be a bigger part of the story, I guess.
Well, is she gay?
I don't think it has no bearing. It doesn't. I don't think it matters at all.
Well, why are people saying just admit it, she's gay?
Because people have a lot of spare time. Everyone has a lot of free time. The religious right is not into the idea of Disney's Queen Elsa, spoiler alert, getting a girlfriend in the sequel to the billion-dollar grossing Frozen.
So that's the rumor that in the sequel she's going to have a girlfriend?
People have said...
I have a girlfriend. I have a lot of girlfriends.
Different. Last month, Twitter user Alexis Isabel created the hashtag give Elsa a girlfriend in hopes of getting Disney to write a same-sex relationship for the Ice Queen.
Okay, so they're not... They want
Frozen
her
2.
To be gay. They want...
Well... They want her to be, but people have said, oh, there's all kinds of telltale signs. But I saw the movie. I don't remember there being any telltale signs that she's gay. During the scene where she goes to Lilith Fair with some friends from college, I don't remember that being blatantly gay in any way. It was a beautiful scene. Come on. Fans loved the idea and not only shared the hashtag to get it trending, but also shared illustrations imagining what a romance might look like for the independent and empowered Elsa, whose story has already been viewed as a metaphor for coming out. Did I mention that? Some people saw the movie Frozen, and if you haven't seen Frozen, I don't want to tell you what it is, but I didn't get any kind of gay messages at all from the movie Frozen, but other people say, now if you look closely at it, the whole movie is about her, Elsa, admitting to the world that she is gay. But I must have missed that. I didn't see that at all. The religious right is trying to ruin everything, though. The social conservative group Citizen Go, it should be Citizen Let It Go. It would make more sense, right? Why didn't they change their name for this story? The social conservative group Citizen Go started a petition demanding that Disney not give in to pressure of the liberal agenda and instead follow its normal trend and create a prince character to fall in love with Queen Elsa.
Prince who just died?
Not that prince. Just any prince. If you watch Disney movies with any regularity, and I do, oftentimes the woman hero is saved by, actually I shouldn't say woman hero, just the woman in any kind of peril, be it Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella or Snow White or on and on and on. At the end, someday their prince will come, and he does, and the prince makes their lives more full and wonderful. And is that accurate?
No.
You don't need a prince, do you?
I found my prince, but I didn't
you
need
did.
To.
No, you would have done fine without, right? They even have their own ideas and less catchy hashtag, including hashtag Charming Prince for Elsa. So they, Citizen Go, is saying, don't give in to this, Disney. Get that Elsa a prince and make her legit.
How about she could just be a strong single woman her whole life?
I'm with you.
You don't need a prince.
I'm with you all
the
way.
You don't need a princess.
Right. Just live alone and deal with it.
I have somebody who has blogged about, there are some spoilers, and I hate to ask people to tune out, but if you haven't seen Frozen, which I haven't.
You and Steve are the only two who have not.
Kevin.
Kevin also, right.
All right. Well, there are some things and some reasons that maybe people think that Elsa might be a lesbian.
All right. All right.
Can we discuss this
yeah,
after the break?
Yeah, a quick break, and then on to that. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Born of cold and winter air and mountain rain combining.
What's this from?
This is from Frozen. This is Elsa singing at a party.
You are not funny.
This is toward the end of the movie.
All right, we were talking about Elsa. There's a Christian group that is not happy with...
Citizen Go, Wendy, is starting a petition demanding, and I say that again, demanding that Disney not give in to the pressure of the liberal agenda and give Elsa a prince so that her life can be more complete. They say that there's a lot of people who are out there believing that the character is a lesbian, is gay, and they say, oh no, you can't have that in the sequel. You got to give her a prince. Make her life legit.
Well, I found a blogger named Justin Lee. He is head of the Gay Christian Network, and he has blogged about this, and he says, want to understand your gay family member? Go see Frozen.
Interesting.
And he said there are great things about the movie, like Idina Menzel, two strong female protagonists, neither of which is a damsel in distress.
Right.
And it's a really good movie, and he says it's genuinely funny. But here are some spoilers.
These are scenes from the movie that he says are obvious, showing that Elsa's gay.
It points some things out.
Interesting.
And
all
once
right.
again, this is a blogger, Justin Lee, head of the Gay Christian Network.
All right.
So he is saying, Frozen is about two sisters, Elsa and Anna, daughters of the king and queen of Arendelle.
Arendelle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Elsa, the older sister, has a magical gift. Again, spoiler alert, I'm just saying this once.
All right.
She can summon ice and snow. Now, a troll later asks if she was born or cursed with this power, one of many lines hinting at an allegory for LGBT people, because the answer is she was born that way.
Right. All right.
They mean with magical powers.
They mean with magical powers, the ability to summon up, you know, various weather conditions. But you could say the same thing about the X-Men in Marvel Comics. They are all born with special powers, some good, some not good. And I don't think anyone's looking at that as an allegory for the X-Men being gay, are they?
I don't know. That might be a story we see tomorrow.
Oh, maybe.
That's coming out in the news. After an accident, though, Elsa's parents come to view her power as a curse, and they encourage her to keep her difference hidden from the rest of the world. Conceal, don't feel, they tell her, and she attempts to do just that, withdrawing from the world to wrestle alone with her secrets, with a powerful sense of guilt, and with this part of herself she doesn't fully understand. Again, I can see the connection, but that's not where they're going.
Wouldn't you put that more under the bracket of commonality? You could say that this character has that going on with her ability, with the fire and the ice and everything like that. And that would be similar to somebody who's gay would have that same thing. But it doesn't mean that she herself, again, I said this at the beginning, she's a cartoon. It's not real. None of it's real. So I don't know that her sexuality has any bearing on this. If she is or is not gay, it doesn't figure into the story, I don't think.
Can I tell you something? Even though other Disney movies have had princes and princesses, I've never seen a sex scene.
I'm trying to think.
They might kiss, but who's to say right. They're even sexual beings?
Yeah, there's not a lot of...
Here's a clue. They're cartoons.
Right, right, right. Snow White was shacking up with 7 guys, Wendy.
She knew how to party. She did not commit to any of them.
Right.
She just
hung
around.
Kind of a fetish, too, right? Because they were all really
right.
short.
And one of the... In the original Snow White and the 8 Dwarfs, Horny the Dwarf, you know, if you find out about his story, you'll be shocked.
Or shacked.
Right.
Hi, Joan. We're talking about Elsa and Frozen, and just everybody makes their own announcements. And
hi. Yeah. Yeah, I saw it on television a couple of weeks ago. I guess it was on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And that never entered my mind that she could be gay. I'm so surprised to hear you talking about
it. It's not part of the story of Frozen. It doesn't have any bearing on the story, right?
No, no, yeah. No. It never even entered my mind at all. It was a good movie.
Right.
It was a beautiful movie. I loved it.
Yep.
And the kids love the dolls. And I don't know. I don't know where they're getting this from.
Strange.
You know, I don't get it. Okay.
Thank you so much, Joan. We appreciate that. And I don't care if Elsa's gay or if she isn't.
Right.
But don't read between the lines.
I know, just
watch the stupid movie. It's not stupid. I hear it's
no
beautiful.
It's really good. You would love it.
From this blogger, what's his name again? I forgot it. It's Justin Lee, head of the Gay Christian Network, and he says, you know, just the lyrics here highlight her struggle. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel. Put on a show. Make one wrong move and everyone will know.
All right. Again, I could see where if somebody was trying to prove their point, and he is, you say, look, these are all issues that somebody, a closeted gay person, would have. It just so happens there is a commonality between the character in the movie and somebody who's experiencing that because they're gay. It doesn't mean that the character is gay. It doesn't fit the story at all, whether she is or she isn't.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think it does.
All right. Well, that's something interesting. So
Can I be honest? I'm more upset as the father of 2 daughters that sometimes in movies like this, they paint the picture that for a woman in peril to be saved, it has to be a guy, a prince riding in on a horse to save the woman. I find that more distressful than the potential that a character in the movie is gay. That's more bothersome to me. That's a weird message to give out to girls. If you're in trouble, don't worry. Some guy will come and save you every time. That's unrealistic.
That's what I like about you. I really do, because you think outside the box.
Thanks.
Also, it is, you know, just because someone does not get married
right.
doesn't mean they're gay or a lesbian.
Right.
Sometimes you just haven't found that perfect person because they don't exist.
There's that too.
But really, there are a lot of successful women who put their careers first and then it's late in life and it's not as easy to meet someone. I know that's why Tinder and all those places are around.
Sure.
But, you know, we want to be successful businesswomen and get in the workforce. We put our social lives on hold a lot of the time.
No doubt about that. All right. We need to take a break. Then Steve has the news, and then there's more show. Let it go. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's us. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Today's show has been very serious for some reason. I don't know why.
Can we change that?
Yeah. Do you want to change that? I know how to change that. One of my favorite foods in the whole world is being talked about on a food website called Delish.com. And that food, and I know it's not good for me, but every once in a while, what can you do? The Pop-Tart is a miracle, in my opinion. Love the Pop-Tart.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When's the last time you had one?
2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay, that's a lot more recent than I thought. I am a bad mom. There, I've said it. Hello, my name is Wendy,
and I'm a bad mom.
My kids have Pop-Tarts, well, Michael, high schooler, every morning. Every morning.
There was a time in my life, I didn't have them every morning, but nearly every day I'd have. And the miracle of Pop-Tarts, and this is the most brilliant move in the history of food, you have to eat two.
No, he only eats one every morning.
Does he shake up the flavors or just one, the same one every day?
He likes his favorite is the wild berry, and the go-to standard in our house is the frosted cinnamon and brown sugar.
You mean brown sugar cinnamon, that's the best.
Sorry.
That's the best.
Mr. Pop-Tart.
I came in third in the Mr. Pop-Tart balloting. Still bitter.
But I told you to keep your shirt on.
I should have kept my shirt on, Steve.
I know that the breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
That's what people say.
I have some doubts about that. There are some days I, you know, can wake up on vacation. I like to have a good Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
That's a good breakfast to
right.
me. Your typical right. morning, I am not one that can get up and eat right away. It's like I'm not ready to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And high school kids, I'm sorry. Jim gets up every morning, makes scrambled eggs. Dylan usually partakes in the scrambled eggs or an mm-hmm. egg sandwich. But Michael is just out the door with a Pop-Tart in hand, and he only eats one. And I have told them time and time again, do not just put that foil wrapper opened in the box and put it back.
It's going to be stale by the next day.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you have to put it in a baggie.
Right.
Put it in a baggie, seal it, and then put it back in the box in the cabinet.
Now, the people at Kellogg's could have, if they wanted to, you get six in a box on Pop-Tarts, three packs of two. They could have individually wrapped them, but they were smart, and they said, we will sell so many more Pop-Tarts if we put them in groups of two.
And we'll make America fat.
We'll make America...
fat.
Yeah.
For eating two.
Right.
Two's too many. They're too sweet.
I think two is just right, because the first one, you're going, oh, yeah, Pop-Tarts. I love Pop-Tarts. And then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, I got a bonus Pop-Tart. They gave me an extra Pop-Tart. I love them. Well, there's all these things that we, the Pop-Tart consuming public, did not know about Pop-Tarts until now. I'm a Pop-Tart aficionado. I didn't know a lot about this. What about this? They're making Pop-Tart flavored liqueur now. Did you know that?
Do you know they have every flavored liqueur? I mean, it's so hard to find vodka flavored vodka now.
But I wouldn't have assumed that they were making Pop-Tart flavored liqueur. This is perfect because they know who their audience is. These are adults now who were kids. They grew up on Kellogg's Pop-Tarts and they want a drink. So that now they have everything in one. They also have flavors of Pop-Tarts that are based on soft drinks. Now, I've never seen these in stores. I believe it because it says it here on the internet. But did you know that in stores you can get A&W root beer flavored Pop-Tarts and Orange Crush flavored Pop-Tarts?
I haven't seen those yet.
It says available this May, which is now.
All right, I'll be looking for them because they do have the limited edition ones.
Right, every once in a while. Because when we were
Christmas,
kids, I think there were eight flavors of Pop-Tarts.
Strawberry,
and now,
blueberry.
Yeah,
cinnamon.
Brown sugar, cinnamon always.
And
right?
What's the other?
Chocolate, fudge.
Ugh.
Ugh, to chocolate and fudge? Those are pretty good.
That is so sweet, Bill.
I know.
At least the brown sugar cinnamon have kind of a little zing to them.
That is sugar right in the name, brown sugar cinnamon. They're not even hiding it.
There's a zing to it, you know, like a spice, because cinnamon's spicy.
Right, right.
Chocolate is just...
Is that too much for you?
In the morning?
But is it just chocolate or is it chocolate fudge?
It's chocolate fudge.
Chocolate fudge, right? Yeah.
I'm not going to dispute any Pop-Tart fact.
You see how he led you into that? He knew all along it was fudge.
I know, he's just...
He wanted to give you that.
Bill does not like to be wrong, but especially about really important life issues like
Pop-Tart. If it's something important
fillings.
About Pop-Tarts, it's hard for me to be wrong. There is a recipe online for wildberry Pop-Tart shots. It's essentially a mix of wildberry vodka, Smirnoff vodka, and strawberry schnapps. Would that taste like a Pop-Tart? I'm not sure that would it?
Well, no, because there's no crust.
Right. You got to put little... You know how sometimes you go to a fine restaurant and you'll get a key lime pie.
Graham cracker crust.
Yeah, they put it around the rim of the martini. You could do that, I bet, with a wild berry Pop-Tart shot. That's pretty good for the kids. Mom, it's nap time already.
No, that's for mom. Make your kid a Pop-Tart in the morning, and then when you drop him off of school, you go home and have the wild berry shot.
Here are the three most popular Pop-Tart flavors. They outsell all the rest. Two of them are classics, and we've mentioned them. Frosted strawberry. That's the one, if you ever see Pop-Tarts in a vending machine, they assume you must love strawberry. There's a machine here at WGN in the commissary, and they have frosted strawberry flavored.
Strawberry is just such a pleasant flavor. I know that, honestly, that's one of the fruits that people are allergic to, so right. That probably shouldn't be in there.
No, you wouldn't think.
And blueberry is so high in antioxidants, not in Pop-Tart form, I don't think.
Probably not.
But it should probably be the blueberry that's the universal
well,
one.
Well, you would think, but it's not that way. The three Pop-Tart flavors that are outselling all the rest are frosted strawberry, brown sugar cinnamon.
Those are the best.
There's no quibble with that. And then their most recent and best-selling flavor in the history of Pop-Tarts is s'mores.
Oh, I've seen it. You know,
I've never tried them. I see them, but I don't. It's too foreign to me.
Such a purist.
Yeah, I like the original six.
Did they ever have...
original seven, I guess, for Pop-Tarts.
Did they ever have...
like the Blackhawks flavored Pop-Tarts.
Right. Did they ever have apple cinnamon?
Yeah, they do.
Like with chunks of apple or more like an applesauce type thing in there? They have apple Pop-Tarts?
Is it called Dutch apple, Steve? Does that sound right?
It's too fine a product for chunks.
Yeah, you couldn't put chunks in your Pop-Tarts.
A choking hazard.
Right.
Some of them used to have sprinkles. Do they still have sprinkles?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah.
Some of the frosted ones
do. The blueberry definitely does, and I think the strawberry does.
What's the one that's multicolored? It looks like it's all different colors on top. Is that strawberry or blueberry?
I don't know.
You don't know?
That one's gay.
You don't know that to be true. It's possible.
Like Elsa. You could just say anything.
Right.
Boy, there's rainbow sprinkles on this one. I bet that Pop-Tart is gay.
It must be a gay Pop-Tart. I bet it is. All right. Do you want more Pop-Tart facts?
Yes, I do.
Because there's 180 of these.
I don't think we have time for that. But I also want to know if any other moms out there are a bad mom. Because isn't that and a glass of milk better than nothing?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I know
it is better
it's
than
sugar.
Nothing.
I know.
But it's not a lot. I mean, it's so, especially if
he's just having one. Every
That's
morning.
That's not a lot. He's all right. All right. More Pop-Tart facts coming up. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? It's so friggin' good. Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? If you haven't, then I think you should. I was sitting in the kitchen one day, and I was itching to fill up my belly with the piping hot jelly of the best damn treat in the world.
He's talking Pop-Tarts!
And I saw a stick of butter, and it almost made me shudder and scream like a baby girl. I don't want a giant penis or a rocket trip to Venus. I don't want to win the lottery. I just want to squat and gobble till I'm dizzy and I wobble in a Butterfruit and Joe Todd dream. So I put butter on a Pop-Tart.
If I'm ever elected president, Wendy, you're listening to the national anthem. We're talking Pop-Tarts. Why? Because it's Thursday and it's 2 o'clock and that's what we do. We talk about Pop-Tarts. There's a lot you may not have known about America's favorite snack treat, breakfast treat.
Yeah, I think
it's a breakfast, right?
Yeah, but don't you sometimes like at the end of the day, I want something sweet, and we don't have cookies or anything, so I'll just do a little frosted brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart.
Perfect, isn't
just
it?
Just one.
Now I don't know if you remember but when Pop-Tarts came out, and I want to say, and I could probably look it up, but I didn't think I was going to say this. Right around 1969, 1970, probably, right? Were we about 5, 6, 7 years old when Pop-Tarts came out? Kellogg's introduced Pop-Tarts, and then there was another product that was introduced at almost the exact same time to go up against Pop-Tarts. Do you remember those?
Yeah, but I can't remember the name of them.
Come on, you can do this.
Oh, God, they were nowhere near as good.
They were nowhere near as good, and they lasted a couple of years, but they were always like, whenever you'd go to the store, they were next.
Pop-ups. Pop-its.
They were not Pop-Ups or Pop-Its.
Pop-Its.
That sounds terrible. I think that's a drug. I think Pop-Its are a drug.
Was acne medicine or something.
Acne medicine.
What were they? Toast-ems.
Now, that's not the one I was thinking of.
But there were Toast-ems.
There were Toast-ems for a
while. And there were Pop-Its.
Danish Go-Rounds.
I don't remember
Danish
those.
Go-Rounds? Those did not last long.
That's because they were Danish.
Yeah. There was a fear of Danish, everything Danish back then.
Toast-Its. Do you see where I got the confusion of Pop-Its and Toast-Its?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Those were not good. And there's Toaster Strudels, which they still make, that are way better.
Yeah, those are high-end breakfast.
Yeah, oh, my God. People. That is like having a bakery in your kitchen.
Yes, it is.
What did they call the peanut butter and jelly mixed in a jar?
Peanutty Kugel with the cuckoo googly eyes?
Nope. Goober grape.
Yes, you're right.
Oh, right.
That was the whole product was called Goober Grape.
So good.
Oh,
Bill is taking issue with your answer though. Because
no,
look at his face.
I think both answers are correct.
Oh God, here we go.
Look up peanut buttery.
Look up what?
Krugel. Look up.
It wasn't like peanut Krugel. What are you
Krugel
saying?
Krugel or Google? Peanut.
It was not, Goober.
Goober.
No, there was
Goober
one.
Something.
Oh my God.
There was one called Peanutty Google with the Google googly eyes, and it was the same thing. It was peanut butter and jelly in one jar.
I got it. Goober.
It's a Goober.
Goober.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Boy, you hang out with Bill, your voice starts cracking.
Smucker's Goober.
Smucker's Goober.
America's favorite combination peanut butter and jelly.
I found Google peanut butter.
Now, this is Google spelled G-O-G-G-L-E, like on your computer, Google?
Yeah, but the page is no longer. And...
Oh, yeah, because they haven't made that since like
it's
early
actually
70s.
Called Kugel peanut Kugel. Spread.
That's it. Peanutty Kugel with the cuckoo googly eyes. That was the ad for it. Kevin, put that through Google and see what happens. See Kugel, if there's an ad for that.
Here's something.
How do you spell it?
Kugel.
Oh, there it is. Listen.
Here comes Kugel, the Kraft peanutty surprise.
This is Kugel peanut spread from Kraft.
That's Bill Left.
That's me.
Peanut that comes in flavors and chocolate, vanilla.
That's me, and it was taped
cinnamon.
Wednesday.
Kugel spreads creamy smooth too, and it's delicious on bread or crackers or almost anything.
And yeah. It doesn't make my mouth stick together.
And it doesn't
that was
make
Bill.
My mouth stick together.
That was your first acting you job.
You love Kugel, the Kraft peanutty surprise.
The 70s were weird.
They were awesome.
Kevin, you take that back.
I don't remember the Kugel, but I remember the Goofy Grape or whatever that. What did you say it was, Kevin?
Goober.
Goober. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's not long ago. That's only a couple years ago, I think.
No, I remember when I was a little kid.
Well, Goober. They made it for they made it a long time ago, but they were still making it a couple of years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, but Kugel was just, it was a chocolate peanut spread.
Yeah, chocolate and peanut butter together.
Okay,
wasn't
the
it?
Other one was the peanut butter and jelly in the
right,
same
right,
jar.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Did you know there was a Pop Tart themed restaurant in New York City?
Why didn't you go there?
If I had known, I would have flown myself out for this. In 2010, the company opened a restaurant called Pop Tarts World.
That's a great name.
Oh man,
people. Who's on the marketing department?
It was.
There?
Listen to this. Steve is a witch. A temporary pop up shop. Selling all sorts of Pop-Tart-based treats, like sushi.
Oh, that's disgusting.
They had three flavors of pastry wrapped in a fruit roll-up and cinnamon roll-ups topped with crumpled Pop-Tarts. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Like, at first when I heard it, I went, I wish I had been there, but now it doesn't sound good.
All right, well, I am redeemed because there are a lot of moms that say that they give that their kids eat Pop-Tarts for
oh,
breakfast,
yeah.
too. And somebody wishes their kid would eat a Pop-Tart because they go on an empty stomach.
Oh, no. You got to have at least one and sometimes two.
Hi, Dave. We're talking Pop-Tarts, Bill's favorite food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last year I took a plane out to the West Coast, and I got stopped in Midway by the TSA because they checked my carry-on bag. I had my snack, a box of Pop-Tarts. They stopped me. I had to take everything out of the bag. I actually had to open up one of the Pop-Tarts. I basically ate that at the before I took off. They couldn't tell what it was in the x-ray. He says, yeah, your thing looks suspicious. It's a box of Pop-Tarts.
Which is still so not illegal contraband in the United States, is it? You can travel with Pop-Tarts, can't you?
Yeah, but I guess the x-ray couldn't see through the aluminum foil, whatever they were. So I had to tear it open and say, yeah, it tastes great. And so much for cinnamon Pop-Tarts. Get through the frosting, though. A little too much sugar. So.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good one. You were talking about the Pop-Tart shot.
Yeah. Somebody, the wild berry one or a different one?
The wild berry, but I just have to share this with everyone because I know we're talking a different breakfast item, but there's a cinnamon toast crunch shot. It's cinnamon toast crunch shot, rum chata and fireball whiskey.
I know of this one for some reason. Yeah, that would work for you.
Yes, Pop-Tarts. Some people eat them at work every morning. There's this one person and eats them cold. And then someone says, how do you eat a Pop-Tart without a toaster? That's awful. I see people doing it all the time.
I almost never would eat them toasted.
I never put them in a toaster ever. I can't
eat them without the toaster.
Really?
They're too hard.
You don't get that greasy film on the
right.
roof of your mouth if you toast them.
I agree.
That's what I like. That gives them some flavor. There's no greasy film on the top of my mouth. What do you get, the oil-flavored ones?
There's a little, I think they make it with a certain amount of lard.
Get the oil-frosted ones, Wendy. They're so good.
Yeah, but the lard is meant, I mean, you know, if you heat them up, then they actually taste a little bit like a...
It's a completely different, it's weird, because, I mean, this is obvious, because you're heating it up, but the flavor changes
better.
Dramatically.
Yeah. It tastes waxy if you don't heat them
up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No time.
No. You got to hurry.
No. I'm sorry. They taste waxy if you eat them cold.
Right.
I like them to not taste waxy. I like to
you don't
enjoy
want any
the
of that.
Fruit flavor.
Oh, I get it.
And
all right.
It's, you know, it's not so hard to crack. It just kind of bends
sure.
because it's warm.
Right.
That's the way to, like a warm chocolate chip cookie. They're better warm than cold.
Yeah.
But if you're a 10-year-old boy and you take a Pop-Tart out of the foil and you're holding it in your hand, you're like,
you can't wait.
Am I going to go put it down somewhere for 4 minutes? I don't think so.
All right. I understand
that. Makes sense, right?
Completely.
Yeah. All right. A quick break. Steve with the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thank you. Thanks to everybody who contributed to our Pop-Tart segment. It may become a regular feature.
How come Steve Bertrand? I would like it to.
It should be.
Steve Bertrand and I were chair dancing to that. You weren't moving at all.
That particular song didn't move me the way it moved either you or Steve. There are songs that we play from time to time that make me dance, but that wasn't one of them. Why that song for you guys? What happened there?
Because it was funky.
Yeah, it was.
It was
Stevie
grooving.
Wonder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Stevie Wonder, Neil Sedaka, either one of those.
Yeah.
What? When the groove hits you, you got to groove with it.
That's
you ever
so
have
true.
One of those songs pop up on Pandora or something, you're like, and you start to, you're like, wait, it's Neil Sedaka.
Yep.
It's okay to have guilty pleasures.
Sure.
As long as your earphones are in.
Remember when.
Fast version or slow?
Fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
But you want to have those moments when you're alone. Like
down,
if somebody.
Do, down, down.
Breaking up.
But if there's a loved one in the car with you and you're reacting to it, it doesn't bode well.
Especially
for you.
If she's younger than you.
Right. Do you get that a lot from the kids? Dad. Yeah. This song's stupid. Why do you like this song? Sometimes, like, I guess everybody probably has this now where you can play your iPod through your car stereo.
I can't.
You can't do that? Well, I'll be doing
Wait
it.
Wait a minute. Are we seeing a bit of technology here that Bill has that you
don't?
I
know, and it pisses me off, but he has a newer car than I do.
It came with the car.
Yeah.
I can't take any credit for this. It came with the car. So it's, like, to me, it's a miracle.
It
I've
is
got
a
my
miracle.
iPod going. And they'll be liking a song or two of mine, and I'm feeling like, wow, this is great. And then a song will come on, and they'll beg me. They'll go, we would rather have the car crash than listen to this, you know?
They better be careful what they bring up, because karma's a B-I-H.
It's a little river band, man.
Right, right. Let it play out. I always go, there's only 4 minutes and 19 more seconds.
Wait
come
for
on.
The horns. Wait for the
it'll,
horns.
It'll get better. The horns are coming.
I can tell you, it's quite a pleasure, and... My 16-year-old Michael loves classic rock. So when we're driving in the car and something comes on, he never goes, ew, God, he loves it.
Right.
Dylan used to be really into B96, and I am so glad he got into the Beatles.
Because
now he's all into classic rock. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, we were coming home from my in-laws in Northbrook, and we're cruising down 294, and Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant comes on.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us was singing at the top of our lungs, and we just cranked it, and I'll tell you, we got home in like 2 minutes,
because
it just was so fun.
I know. I point this out to my daughters all the time, and it's lost on them, even though I've pointed it out so many times. There are so many songs I have on my iPod that are songs that they also have on theirs and enjoy. Like, there's a lot of commonality between their music lists and mine, and then I always say, like, when I was a kid... There wasn't a single song that my dad liked that I liked. There wasn't one song.
Elvis? You didn't like Elvis?
No, he didn't. Neither of us did, actually.
Really?
He wasn't
Beatles? Neither of you liked? I know you did.
I loved the Beatles then and now, but the Beatles were just kind of there to him. Like, I get that they didn't have iPods, but he always controlled the radio.
Yeah.
And whatever we listened to, I don't remember a Beatles song ever being on the radio.
Glenn Miller?
Some of that type of music... It was slower, older music. It was just Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. That's all he would play, no matter where we would go.
Don't sit with anyone else but me.
But there's a lot of bands. Like I like the band, like Arcade Fire is a band that
love my
daughters love and I love. And I always go, hey, how about that? Like, my dad wouldn't have been listening to Arcade Fire or Muse or something like that. But they're just like, yeah, so.
But there's, I mean, there wasn't a lot of music when we were little kids where we could share with our parents. Music, I mean, it's so funny to listen to the oldies station now. You'll hear like a song by Cher, and right. you're like, wait a minute, that's not Sonny and Cher.
I know.
Cher, this is an oldie, I know. But it is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of crossover and shared music with our kids and ourselves.
There is.
Not with our parents. It was really, you went from the big band era to Elvis to the Beatles and then maybe Bob Dylan. And parents, I can't see getting into Bob Dylan.
I think I've told you this. I don't remember what station was on when I was a kid. We were driving somewhere and a Jim Croce song comes on the radio. And I think to myself, I wonder which of my parents will change the station faster, my mom or my dad, right? Jim Croce starts up and there's the song.
Time in a Bottle?
No, it was Don't Mess Around with Jim, right? So the song comes on and I'm like, okay, here goes. Who's going to change the station fastest, mom or dad? And then my dad says, remember when we saw him in concert, to my mom? And I'm in the back and I go, wait, what? What did he just say? And then my mom goes, yeah, wasn't that great? And I said, you guys saw Jim Croce in concert? And they told the story. They saw him here at some venue when I was a little kid. And then like for the rest of my life, I've wondered, what else are they not telling me? Like if my parents saw Jim Croce, because they didn't seem the type to go see any concert at all, much less Jim Croce, but they did.
Well, he was a perfect person for a parent of that time to go see, because it was, you know, he could rock a little with Bad Leroy Brown, but then he was kind of like soft hits kind of too. It's the perfect thing. And as you're describing it and you're sitting in the back seat going, oh my God, my parents went to see Jim Croce. It's like all of a sudden the Wonder Years came to life in your car.
It was. There was narration.
Yes. Was it Daniel Stern's going to come on? And
yeah. He started.
My parents went to a concert?
What else? That was the day I realized that my whole life was a lie. To everything turn. Yeah, that started playing in the background.
That's so funny.
It was like the weirdest moment because I just stared at them going, you're replicants. You've replaced my mom and dad. My parents wouldn't have gone to see a Jim Croce show. I still can't figure out how that happened because they weren't the type to go to music.
Before you were born, they had fun together.
No, but that I don't think Jim Croce would have been before I was born.
Yeah,
probably
I guess not.
Maybe
That's
when
true.
I was really, really little.
Well, you were left with a babysitter. That's what's getting you mad.
No, I loved when I had a babysitter. That was better. I used to beg them, just go out, have fun, leave me with a babysitter.
It's funny, though, when you come across these pictures of your parents, because they're your parents, so you don't think like they did anything fun,
right?
Including, you know,
right,
horizontally. That just is something you couldn't think of. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking through photo albums of my mom and dad, and they were camping, and I asked my sister, what they went camping? Oh yeah, they used to go with Ed and Jenny Bratz, and they used to go and like go for a weekend. And I'm like, my mom camped.
Yeah,
and
isn't
you'd
that
see
hard
her
to imagine?
With her hair curled and her horn rimmed glasses and her really tailored plaid shirt and tight jeans rolled up, like
camping.
I don't know if she had heels on or what, but it's like you went camping. Oh my God.
When I was a little kid, in a photo, there was a photo album that had pictures of my dad and I at a zoo. And I was like a year and a half. And we're at the monkey house at the zoo, and we're looking at lions at the zoo. And there's like 30 pictures of my dad and I at the zoo. I never said anything to my dad, but I was mad that my dad just took me to the zoo and not my mom. Like, I'm like, why wouldn't you brought my mom to the zoo? Why just me? What happened? Were you guys fighting and stuff? So then as an adult, I said one time, I never brought this up, but I always got upset about those zoo pictures that you just left mom out in the cold. And my dad goes, who do you think took those pictures? Like,
oh,
it never occurred to me that my mom was there. She was just holding the camera.
I want to know why your brother wasn't there.
He wasn't born yet.
Oh, thank God, because that would really be bad.
Right, right.
Jim Croce died in 72.
All right, he died in 72, and he was, when we heard that song, he was already dead. And I was born in 63, so I was 9 when he died. So my parents probably saw him when I was like somewhere between the ages of 0 and 3 or 4, right?
You're really saying 0?
Yeah.
How old are you? I'm 0.
That's the way I'd introduce myself. Thank you. Hi, Bill. It's nice to meet you. How old are you?
I'm 0. says that?
Your son is so big. How old is he?
God.
He looks one. He's not one. He's zero. Well, he's taking care of himself.
What if you're 2 months old? Does that still signify zero? Because you're zero. Not one yet.
When you're one, you're one. Before you're one, you're zero.
9 months, you're still zero?
Right.
Yeah.
God. I'm 0.5.
Good God.
0.5.
All right, a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim. A walker here, a bull shooting son of a gun.
So picture me sitting in the back of a Ford LTD. I'm about 8 or 9 years old.
At least you weren't zero.
I started out at zero.
I know we did.
And then
that.
I gradually became older, but I was zero for about a year. And then my mom and dad, that song, Don't Mess Around With Jim, comes on the radio. And then my parents are recounting the time they saw him in concert. And my head is just spinning around because I'm like, that's impossible. You guys don't go to concerts, much less see somebody cool like Jim Croce. That can't be.
That's relative.
Yeah.
I guess at that point he was cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
Was your brother alive then?
Yeah.
Did you guys look at each other like, how about this?
I was just shocked.
They had fun.
Yeah.
How could they have fun with us? Without us?
Sense. Yeah.
All right. Well, Sarah's mom got her into something. What'd your mom do musically?
Well, my parents, you know, they were the Depression era people. And, you know, after World War II and all of us, we were... I'm 59, so gets you the idea. My mother brought home Simon Garfunkel and turned the entire family onto it. Even my dad kind of got onto it. And after they had both died and we had to sell the house, the last day we were there, my brother brought one of those compilation CDs, all Simon Garfunkel. So it was our tribute to the house.
What a nice send-off. That's fantastic.
It was.
I'm covered in goosebumps on that one.
Nice.
That's really, really sweet, Sarah.
Yeah, you know, the coolest thing is when I left that day, I had the most killer headache. And I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, I see my aunt, my mother's sister-in-law, walking. So I stopped to give her a ride and told her I just left the house. And so she said, well, come on up to our apartment where her husband, my uncle. So he spent the day telling me mom's stories that I never knew. And I firmly believe that mom arranged it all.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Nice little message from beyond.
It was very cool.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing that. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It's Simon and Garfunkel. How could you not like them?
Yeah, I know.
Plus, when they were on SNL, Jim Croce was on SNL too, wasn't he?
No, he would have died before Saturday Night Live started.
I thought he was on.
No, he was already gone.
No.
He was on like Midnight Special.
Oh, maybe that's...
Yeah, he was on there a few times, but not Saturday Night Live wouldn't have been possible.
But he would have been perfect on there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I don't know what this means, but Steve wants to share with us.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, you know, guys, I'm in my 60s, so I'm not sure you grew up watching Leave with the Beaver.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you guys are a little bit younger than me.
We watched it.
There was an episode where Beaver's teacher, Miss Landers,
mm-hmm.
you know, the father invited her over for dinner.
Yeah.
And so they're all at the picnic table in the backyard, and all Beaver's friends, like Larry Mondello and just all of his little friends on the TV show, they're up in trees watching Miss Landers have dinner because it was like, can you believe Miss Landers did this and Miss Landers did that? It was like, you know... She's a teacher, but she's a real person, too.
Sure. It throws you, doesn't it?
You were talking about your parents.
That is so true. You can't see them being other than what they are, which is your parent or your teacher.
Right. I remember that, too, when I was a kid. I would think of someone like that.
Thank you, Steve.
Know if you remember it or not. Okay,
thank you.
Very good. All right.
Thanks.
One of my best friends in grade school, his dad was an incredibly straight-laced guy. I mean, just like an absolute straight-arrow guy. And when you'd go over to his house, his dad had all Cat Stevens records and played them all the time. Just loved. Like, it didn't make sense that a guy that was just so straight-laced would love Cat Stevens, you know?
But that, you know, I mean, honestly, you think about it, I don't know if he was a veteran of any war or anything.
He was not.
But that's, music was just such an escape.
Right, 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 right.
And now there's just so much stuff going on that unless you're like a 16-year-old kid like mine, you don't sit around and listen to an album.
Yeah,
you'll put
I guess
something on your iPod, or if you're in the car, you listen. But if you're home, you're usually watching TV.
Right.
It's, yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, God, every Saturday we used to clean the house and just crank tunes and do it. I don't do that anymore.
Mm.
I should get back to that because my house would
be much
cleaner. You do that when you guys clean up?
Oh, yeah.
You just crank the tunes.
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning in my house, I would, like, wake up to the walls rattling to Scorpions for my dad.
Your dad is a Scorpions fan?
Oh, man. Yeah. He was a huge Scorpions fan. I don't know if he still is, but.
See, when Reese plays, when one of my daughters plays her Pandora, I go, yeah, I love that song. I have that song. Love that song, like that. And then I always think to myself, that's so great that a girl has such pronounced taste in music. Or then I think, or do I have the taste of a 19-year-old girl?
I think the latter.
It's probably that one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Ro and Anna will stop by, and we'll find out what they have on their show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.